This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Yeah, howdy.
Hello.
Hi. I hate to start with Holly. 2 days in a row.
Wow, she must have done something special.
Yesterday was kind of a premature Holly. She wasn't the Holly that we like to spotlight, the hyperactive poodle Holly.
She was a little too mellow Holly.
Ah. Just play a snippet of this. She was at a pumpkin drop today.
Oh, I bet she's turbo Holly.
This chick from Channel 5.
All right, we're going to have you go on up.
All right, ready?
And as he gets ready, everybody, we're standing back.
Yeah.
Standing back.
This is our Holly.
All right, we got a big crowd here. Are you guys ready to smash some pumpkins? All right, let's get it ready.
All right, guys, are you guys ready?
Okay, Debbie, get the crowd going.
Let's get going. Oh, there's
Bert. Oh, there's what? Oh, a little
everybody
one.
Farmer Bert.
Oh, he wants big, big pumpkins, Farmer Bert.
Wow.
Big pumpkins.
There you go. He's on
big pumpkins. Big
up.
Pumpkins, yeah. What are they dropping them from?
Okay, that's 4 minutes of that.
Oh, my God.
And that's Holly on a register. That would be a one.
Ah. And it really helps when they put the music in back of it, too.
When she gets up to a 10, when they get about 3 minutes into it.
Right.
I mean, when you rip that knob off at 10, she's screaming, oh, pumpkins!
That's when the cats start arriving. Different animals from all over the world.
Pumpkins, pumpkins, pumpkins. But we won't.
Pass that squad!
Oh, everybody's screaming.
No, we're not going to start with that today.
Everybody's screaming.
The weekend is here. Hey, yeah, as Joe used to say, have your can of beer. Let's start.
Yes.
With a word from my man, your man, Drew Carey from The Price is Right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Drew Carey. I'm here in Brentwood, California, outside of a perfectly legal pharmacy. Brentwood sounds familiar to you. It's right outside of Los Angeles. It's where OJ used to live. It's a really rich area. And in this pharmacy, like any pharmacy in the United States, you can get pills for whatever ails you. Over-the-counter, prescription, you can get aspirin, eye drops, ear drops, creams. Also, if you need a little pick-me-up, you can go across the street to Starbucks and get a cup of coffee, a strong cup of coffee, a not-so-strong cup of coffee, whatever you want. You can just decide your own dose. Right next to that is a bar, restaurant. You can get cocktails, beer, wine, alcohol. Uh-huh. There's another gourmet, like, liquor store right down the block. So all within walking distance here in this really rich area of California, you can get anything you want to bring you up or down or in between. But there's one thing they sell here in California that's legal that the federal government doesn't want you to have. Medical marijuana. So I think it's clear by now that the federal government needs to reclassify marijuana. People that need it should be able to get it safely and easily.
Come on down.
And if that bothers you, that really makes you nervous that people are out there using marijuana to ease their pain, here's what you do. Drive down any old gas station in America like this one. Go inside, buy yourself a nice cold brew. Pop the top. They really take the edge off. For the Reason Foundation, I'm Drew Carey.
Well, he's found his cause.
Remember to spay and neuter your pets.
That's right. Bob Barker had that. And Drew Carey's got normal.
Weed. There you go.
Wow. I bet you're going to be a regular Price is Right watcher now.
I am now.
Right.
Let's start the show with one more.
I like this music.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. Jacksonville, Florida. Chuck enjoys marijuana. So he decided to accept Paul Harvey's suggestion. He gave up. He went to the phone. He called me. He ordered a bong. Bong. That's a pipe used to smoke marijuana. I want you to hear this carefully because you're thinking about a Valentine's Day present for somebody you love very much. Yeah. Quote, my marijuana bong arrived Saturday, and after I opened the box, I was in shock. My eyes were locked open wide. My whole house was now a concert hall. Quote, I'm listening to all of my old CDs again because I have never really heard them before. Quote, with heat eating your ears, you're gouging out and tearing loose and pulling apart, gulping air and tasting black. Your windpipe is closing, and you've lost track of which way is out. There's a searing ember down your neck. Somebody's singed a kitten. Now, for that Valentine's Day gift, It's not too early for you to choose a bong. If you're anything but happy with it, I'll buy it back. To locate your nearest dealer, telephone 1-800-BONG.
I like his giggles. He gets the giggles.
Hello.
Oh, baby.
Hello.
Hello.
There we go.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hi there.
Grandma's is in the night.
What about weed? Oh, there gonna be any weed?
Hello.
Yeah. How about a scream? Oh, Florida.
Is everybody happy?
How about you, Paula?
I'm not happy.
Who would be?
That's funny, right, Clay Aiken?
Oh, dear. Mr. Aiken. Oh, that's a good new one.
Goes with the song.
That's funny. Well, I have a new favorite.
Well, you cannot take the hilarious black guy from The Office. Stanley is part of what makes this branch so extraordinary. The bluesy wisdom, the sassy remarks, the crossword puzzles, the smile, those big watery red eyes. I don't know how George Bush did it when Colin Powell left.
This is Robert Anger Mailman for the Don's and Mike Show.
Cut the jibber jabber.
Look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
You're doing it.
Woo! Look out! Look out!
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
Oh, there he is. I'm on a phone call.
Let's pick a phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
That's silly.
What? Stop that. It's silly. Very silly indeed.
Here's that.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike!
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
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 This is the Don and Mike show.
The show's going to be fun, man. No, Kelly Clarkson.
It's addictive already. That one is get that. Oh my God. Hi, Clay. Clay Aiken. Wow. He must have been very excited.
Hello, little brains. Don and Mike show Friday.
Oh, boy.
Phone number same as it was yesterday.
Can't believe it's Friday already.
877-365-3636. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. I'd like to correct something Don said yesterday.
Oh, I love to be corrected.
Oh, and especially if you get corrected from the day before.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Please, go ahead. I love that. I love that.
First thing.
You said Dick Gaudier was in was Dick Gaudier in Get Smart, not Dick Shawn?
No, I believe everyone agreed with me in the room. No one in the room at the time bothered to.
Dick Gaudier was in Get Smart.
Dick Gaudier was in Get Smart.
Can we all?
What was Dick Shawn in?
Everything.
He was in The Producers, as they talked about, but he also said he was in Get Smart.
Can we stop for one second to think how little we care about this?
Well, okay.
Yeah, but why was it so important?
I mean, seriously, hold on.
Why was it so important for you that you are our very first call? How long have you been thinking about this and waiting? Have you been waiting all day for us to come back on the air?
Listen, I don't mind being nitpicked.
I just looking for truth in the media.
God knows I do it, but it would be akin to this, my friend. When you're at your job and you've got that smock on and you've got that one-piece Madonna headset on, it'd be like I come up and I say, hey, dude, I'm not kidding. When I came up here yesterday, you know what? There were pickles on this Whopper, and I specifically said no pickles, and you said, okay, no pickles. And you put a pickle on my Whopper, dude. How would you like it if I came back and said that in front of your entire cast and crew?
I'm speechless. I'm without speech.
Wouldn't you say, gosh, it was just one pickle? Why are you being such a dick about it, sir?
I'm going to ask you a question, sir, and I want you to answer me honestly. You think you can do that?
I think I could answer you.
Yeah, I don't like the stammer. That indicates you might not want to. But let me ask you seriously, what do you have planned this weekend? What are your weekend plans? And maybe specifically tonight. You got anything going on tonight?
I knew it.
If you did, you wouldn't be effing with us.
I don't mind being the pickle guy. I don't mind being the guy that put the pickle when you asked for it, when you didn't ask for it. Mm-hmm. But why you got to come here right at the beginning of the show like it's a big deal? You wouldn't like
You're
that.
You're bringing us down, man.
We just opened.
Exactly. And Buzz is right. We just opened the restaurant.
You wouldn't like it if I came into Dear Wiener Schnitzel and screamed in front of you and all of your pimply face employees, would you?
He works at the mall. What's the secret sauce at All American Burger? Listen to you now clicking and grunting over there on the phone, you worthless.
Anything else?
No, just Horland USA signing off.
Yeah, no plans. That's the deal. It's no plans. There's no joy in the man's life.
And what a shock. You called about the topic dick.
Coincidence?
Sean and Gautier.
He never confuses.
You are one, and you suck one.
Wasn't Dick Gautier also in Robin Hood, Men with Tights?
I don't know. Let's go to
No, he wasn't.
There's Dick Expert.
He was in a Robin Hood. A Mel Brooks Robin Hood TV show.
See, Mike, it's a good thing we didn't hang up on him or he'd call Monday and he would correct you on that one. Okay.
Oh, my God. Boy, you know, putting a Paul on our show, our Happy Friday show, right at the beginning.
Mike, you get partial credit. He was in the show when things were rotten.
Okay, that's it. That was the series about Robin Hood.
Right.
So I was partially right. Thank you, Rob. No thanks to you, sir. You could have chipped in with that.
No,
but you are a stain. What? You are an unremovable stain.
How would you like it if I went back to your mom after this phone call and said to her, listen, really, there's a chromosome that is wrong with your retarded son? Yeah, that would hurt your mom's feelings. I mean, there must be a lot of people who you've done this to in life who don't have the nerve to say it to you. I mean,
I don't like hurting his mom. I like pleasing his mom. If you know what I mean.
Well, Mike, one man's pleasure is another man's pain.
That's right.
But your mom's a great lay, and you're
right. Why do I think he's grinning right now?
I totally screwed that up. Boy, do I have...
Ear to ear.
I have egg on my face, just like your mom.
Oh, eggs.
Your mom has my egg on her face.
Wow.
Egg whites only.
That's right. Yeah. No yolks, just the white part.
Where are you calling from?
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Jesus!
Oh, that one.
Las Vegas?
And you got nothing to do?
And you got nothing going on?
On a Friday night?
I did it last night.
I did
it. I work this evening.
Do you work in a casino?
No, I do not.
What do you do out there?
Well, I have two jobs. I work at Mandalay Bay, but not in the casino.
Uh-huh.
What do you do? I work in the Shark Tank.
The Shark Tank.
Oh, that's nice.
You work in really work in the Shark Tank?
Do you clean? Yep. Do you clean the poop? Do you clean the shark poop?
That's exactly what I do.
Now, come on, tell me the truth.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, Mike, there's no
You're
way
the this, shark. What else do you do?
There is no way this guy is talented enough.
I also work for a cable company out here.
Oh, you're a cable guy.
There's no way that this guy's talented enough to actually get in a tank with sharks at Mandalay Bay. But I believe that when the sharks aren't in the tank, someone has to clean.
Yeah, you clean the tanks.
The shark BM. The rock.
We clean the rocks, the glass.
Uh-huh. Is that a lucrative job?
Okay. No.
Well, how would you like it if James Caan or Tom Selleck or whoever it is that's in charge of Mandalay Bay just came up one day in front of everybody and said, you know what? Whoever cleaned this tank did a beautiful job, but there in the corner, there's a pea-sized piece of crap. Mm-hmm. From one of these fishes that we got in this tank.
Would you go in there and get it out with your hand?
What are these shark fishes?
Well, we use a vacuum.
Are you unhappy with your work?
Your life?
No, not yet.
Do you have any kind of gambling problem?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about the Dick Gaudier thing.
Okay.
Happy Day of the Dead to you.
Bye-bye.
Today is the Day of the Dead.
Is it the Day of the Dead?
The Day of the Dead. Yes, Clay Aiken, it's the Day of the Dead.
Count Chocula.
Frankenberry. Boo Berry.
Those were the three cereals.
Yes, they were.
Count Chocula.
Five flavor lifesaver. Peppermint. Wintergreen.
And traditional five flavor.
Come on now, we're going to move on. See, the only reason we haven't hung on is that in some way this turns into a pissing contest.
Uh-huh. Would you like to put the phone in the cradle now?
So you were right, I was wrong. Go on to your great life of cleaning up shark dung.
Weird. Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ouch. That's what it feels to get knocked out, everybody.
I know.
So long.
There he goes.
He's gone like the wind.
Where are my smelling salts?
I'm going to look him up.
I was tagged. I was just knocked out.
Mm-hmm. Tagged you.
First call. Boom.
Right on the button.
Bloody nose.
He buttoned you.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Cut me, Mike. Cut me, Mick.
I can't do it. I can't do it, Rock.
Cut me.
I can't do it.
Cut me, Mike. Mick.
Hello. That's the one time you can call me Mick. When we're reenacting that fabulous scene from Rocky.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Feliz Dia Los Muertos, Jaru.
Ah, happy day of the dead, right?
Jaru.
Right, that's today.
Uh-huh. Jaru.
All day.
What's that, Jaru? What?
Jaru.
What does it mean?
What are you saying?
Yeah, really? Jaru.
Jaru. Okay.
All right, hello, Don and Mike show.
Now we know.
Te amo, Don and Mike. I love you so much. You
pick
up my day every day. I love you.
Oh, muchas gracias. Muchas gracias, mi amiga.
La cucaracha, yes. Yes, let's make a human burrito.
Yo estoy enfermo de la cabeza.
Love to you both on the beach.
Ooh, tell us, who is the celebrity you most resemble?
At the same time.
Ooh, at the same time. I'm not sure about that one, but boy, that sounds like fun.
I'd go for it.
You've done it.
I got to be on top. I got to be the top.
I don't want to do it at the same time.
No, you can have her. You can be underneath her. And I'll be on top of her.
You know.
Well, there's only one way to do that.
Well, no,
you know what we're doing if we're doing that.
No,
I've seen the movies.
No, hold on. I'm going to give you what you want. You can, in the position you're in.
Yes.
You bend her over a chair.
Okay.
And right. Then you do that thing that you like that's close to the.
No, I don't like that all the time. I have to have a lot of experience with someone. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that on a first timer.
I forgot the position you like. This gal will be laying on her stomach.
Yes.
And while she's laying on her stomach, her head will just be hanging off the edge of the bed.
Very nice.
So that you are there.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And I'm at the other end of the bed.
Oh, that's fine.
And that way.
That's fine. Then we don't have to look at each other.
Well, no. Then while we're both having relations with her, we only look at each other.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's disturbing.
Just you. Oh, she hung up.
Oh, is she gone?
I don't get that.
Oh, I really wanted to. I mean, after that first call, that was going to be a pleasant little encounter.
I pictured me standing. Like, here's the,
looking at each other.
Here's
wow.
The bed.
Yeah.
You're
I understand.
Doing,
and
you're
it's,
doing her there.
Right.
I'm going, hey,
right.
What's happening, friend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Making eye contact. She never answered the celebrity she most resembled, so I'm forced to guess it's the maid from Will and Grace.
Fat.
Yep.
Yep.
And older.
And Don, we could give each other the thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah, way to go.
Big smiles.
Way to go.
It's going great, Beav. Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's up? Oops. Hi there. Don and Mike Show.
What's up?
Hey. Hi.
How's it going?
How are you anyway?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm drinking some beers.
Good.
Hey,
I'm,
now see, there you go. Now that's what you do on a Friday.
I'm getting ready to head up 95 as soon as the show is over. I'm going to Andy Reid's Drug Emporium.
Has he still got everybody in the family working in that business?
It's fabulous, Mike. Mm-hmm. You see, the dad's away all the time.
Right.
As the football coach, and the mom is totally distracted. So, like, you could have a meth lab, you can have heroin, you could have coke, you could have drugs.
I heard they're still giving away free HGH up there. Is that
pills,
true?
Pills, upper steroids,
good.
Yes.
Anything you want.
At the Andy Reid Drug Emporium.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you think if that guy was going to have an emporium for anything, it would be food?
Right, right. Well, I mean, he's the one that's kind of, you know, going on the illegal side of things. His brother in New York City, Dwayne, has a legitimate has a legitimate drugstore.
Okay. So.
Don't forget about his black brother, Willis.
Willis Reed.
Okay.
Yeah, a black brother, kind of redundant. Sorry. Sorry, blacks.
All righty.
So how are you?
I'm doing actually pretty decent today.
Any particular reason you called?
Well, I'd like to give you an update on the Van Halen concert last night.
Super duper.
I'm pleased though. All right, wait, where was the concert?
Verizon Center.
I was here at D.C.
Oh, it was downtown? Okay, I didn't know that.
It was actually pretty good.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good review.
That was a hell of a review.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I just have to jump in with this. Have you heard that B movie is getting the crappy reviews?
Hold on, Mike.
Isn't that great?
Yep. Hold on a second.
Yes. You have one?
I've got not one.
Oh, goody.
Got not one.
Goody.
Not two. Not
goody.
Three. Not
goody.
Four. Not, I'll take a phone call. We'll read a few.
Oh, fantastic.
Yay. I'm ready for you today.
Yay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello. I hear breathing in the distance.
It for you. Hi, Don and Mike. What's up?
Aloha, this is Dog the Bounty Hunter. Can I talk to the guys?
It's Dog the Bounty Hunter, the
M-word Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Bye!
All right, this is where we part ways, my friend.
That's where we step off.
Love to take more calls, and you know we will.
Right.
It's Friday, sure. You got nothing better to do.
Friday.
I do have the comic book to show you.
Oh, there's your little, overnight package.
Good. Yeah, but I'll save that, and we'll put it up on the website. Because I'm so glad you asked about the Seinfeld thing.
Oh, fantastic.
What I have written down for the open, my comic book, we can get to that whenever.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to talk about Andy Reid's drug emporium. Seriously, that blows my mind that's going on with Philadelphia Eagles coach. And if it was going on with a player.
Right.
If there was a player and they went into a player's house and they found his relations of his with drugs and with guns.
Right.
Wouldn't that player be at least spoken to by the NFL?
You know, sure. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, thing about it, though.
I feel bad for him because, you know, I'm a father of a boy, and you reach a point when a boy becomes a man. Even
right.
If he's living with you, he's independent. It's not I don't believe it's Andy Reid that has a drug emporium.
No.
I believe he's got that goddamn tunnel vision, that football player tunnel vision. I could easily see why his sons could have drugs in the house, and he wouldn't know it. He's probably one of those guys
not.
That's never there.
I mean, what is the deal with of all managers and coaches? I mean, you've got guys that are completely a slave to their jobs. They sleep in their office, and of course they're going to – you know, this is not the only coach in the NFL, I should point out, that has problems with his, you know, with his kids.
Sure.
I mean, it happens because I think the dad's really just not around.
But his kids have the best problems, though.
Right.
I mean, better than...
The most public and the most egregious.
Belichick's kid got busted for weed
right.
last year.
Right.
And that got some play. But this is not like a Billy Carter thing. This is not like a lovable son or brother thing.
No. Well, mean, also, wasn't it... It was Tony Dungy? And didn't his kid commit suicide? Was that who it was? Yeah. I mean, that was a tough situation. I mean, you've got some troubled... You know, kids of NFL coaches. It's very strange. Very, very interesting.
Anyway, Andy Reid's drug emporium.
Drug emporium.
And it was a judge.
Did they find guns there, too?
Yeah. It was a judge that said all of this in open court. Said, you know, the house is unfit, that the parents don't know what's going on, running a drug emporium.
A drug emporium.
Andy Reid.
I mean, that's the place you would go if you're in the market for any illegal drugs. You go to the Reid's house.
You go to the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
And coach Andy Reid's house.
Also, the judge said that the one of the Reid boys has had a history of this, that he was very proudly dealing coke
right.
while the Eagles were playing in all those championship games. And part of the deal was that it was known that you were buying your coke from the son of the Eagles coach.
So it was kind of a selling point, right?
Brand yes.
Kind of a bonus.
Brand yeah.
What did their mother say? What did Donna say? I was just curious what she said.
Uh-huh. Hard to come up with another female Reid.
It truly is.
Yeah.
Certainly is no Mrs. Robert Reid.
No.
How about Rex?
Rex Reid.
No Mrs. Rex Reid there either.
No.
He's just like Robert Reid.
Yeah, I guess.
Female Reids are hard to find.
Yeah.
All right.
Very hard.
Anyway, got that. We'll talk about Andy Reid today.
Very good.
Got some great audio today for you of Heather McCarty going crazy about threats against her life.
Hello, I'm Heather Mills.
But yesterday, I'm so glad it worked out like this. We railed about the Jerry Seinfeld movie, B-movie.
We spent a good chunk of time on old Jerry.
Prayed to my Lord, Jesus. Too bad you're not a believer, Buzz.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style.
Okay.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel, right? The ultimate CEO?
Yeah.
Biggest celebrity of them all? Who's down with G-O-D?
I am, because G-O-D, Mike's got his hand up as well.
Right here.
G-O-D, he is the guy that makes the biggest upsets of all time happen.
I see. I came up with this new line, and I'm thinking of even making it into a bumper sticker. When I'm flying my airplane, let me try this out of you. God is my co-pilot. That's an original.
I like it.
You like that?
I like it, Forrest.
Somehow I feel like I've seen it before, but I'm claiming it as an original idea.
It's got that familiar ring.
Right.
Anyway, thrilled that Jesus answered at least one man's prayers, that the overexposed and way too pompous Jerry Seinfeld would have his ass handed to him this weekend by American Gangster.
Yep.
As it turns out, well, the
and he's gonna
all the reviews they're in. Let's start with the Hollywood Reporter.
Okay. Very good. Sorry.
Bottom line, as cartoon creatures, bees are not A-listers.
Mellow. That's kind of a mellow.
That's just the headline.
Pan.
Mild.
Unfortunately, bees aren't funny.
Now we're getting somewhere.
They talk funny now and then, thanks to that force of comedy. Jerry Seinfeld co-wrote, co-produced, and stars in his first animated feature. But they are not intriguing cartoon creatures.
Right.
Nor is the odd story Seinfeld and his collaborators dreamed up and inspired. The film labors too hard for its comic moments and never discovers a cartoon logic that allows bees and humans to interact. This movie might sound funny, but it don't play funny.
Wow. That's Hollywood Reporter, right?
Good.
This movie gives you the sense that they're straining to get any comic action going.
Straining its stool.
Here we go. This is a good one for the Washington Post. A B minus or lower. It would be wrong to claim that this movie is abuzz with hilarity. As the co-creator of Seinfeld, as well as its central character, Seinfeld could do no wrong. His shows were routinely funny and commented brilliantly on the zany minutiae of everyday life. But B-movie, which he co-produced, co-wrote, stars in, never takes off.
Good.
The images, usually computer animation's biggest draw, are disappointingly average.
Yeah. It's my first movie.
And it's not satisfying to look at Barry's un-Jerry-like face, which looks like a spike-haired Donny Osmond.
That is a great review.
The comedy, the element that most adults and all Seinfeld fans would look forward to, is equally flat. As the movie progresses, the more you realize Jerry Seinfeld's voice sounds like a droning bee, the kind you want to swat away.
Oh, fantastic. You know, when I saw a clip, I forgot what show, I think he was on Letterman, and they had a clip of B-movie. And I'm just going to throw this out at you. You tell me what's wrong with this. The scene is a car is coming. And they're, hey, a car is coming.
Yeah.
And they land on the windshield. And then they have this little dialogue. You know what's wrong with that picture?
What?
I mean, really, if you're going to be sweating the details, which really Pixar and people like that do,
correct,
what happens when an insect hits the windshield of a
flat
car?
Flat.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Right there, I said, okay, they're forcing it.
No credibility.
Right. Here we go, Mike, the LA Times.
No integrity.
Hey, Jerry, Seinfeld, LA Times. Mind if we call you Jerry or Jer? After all, we've logged so many hours with you in Seinfeld, we feel we know you. We have seen real bees. And you, Jerry, are no bee, let alone a funny one.
Oh, wow. Cool.
If this helps, we were not impressed when Woody Allen tried to be an ant in Ants. It does not tickle us in the least to see you portrayed on screen as a computer-animated bee with the kind of cheap, plastic-looking face you'd find on a giveaway figurine in a cereal box.
Wow.
Yeah.
Zang.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Get ready for a good one, Mike.
Okay.
B-movie feels phoned in on every level. The images, usually computer animation's biggest draw, are disappointingly below average.
Very good.
Again with that.
You know, and this is, I mean, have we ever seen as much hype for an animated feature?
Never.
I don't think we've ever. They started I believe they started promoting this, would it be last May?
It's been a year.
When was he at the Cannes Film Festival? Was it when he was in a bee suit?
9 months ago?
It was 9 months ago.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's right. Ridiculous.
Here we go. Here is one from West Coast Movies. Even when they attempt to make the movie something more than childish by highlighting darker ideas and themes, including the massive amount of bee death in the hive, what happens when you sting someone? Bees don't want to waste that one good sting. Some Ray Liotta action, the danger they face in our world, and talk of a suicide pact seems out of place in a kid's movie. Mm-hmm. It's overwhelmed by a simple plot. Jerry and the rest of his writing team provide a scatterbrained film as we move from point to point without any one theme or idea getting explored. It's a tidal wave of every idea Jerry ever wanted to do in a movie spewing out of him like he got food poisoning at a rat-infested deli.
Wow. These are, I mean, they're savaging this movie.
Brutal. Each story feels inserted not to serve the movie, but to appeal to each segment of the potential audience.
Okay.
That's right, Jerry. A bit of romance for the lovelorn. Slapstick for the kids, a Randy joke for the guys, and more. This is a weak courtroom drama and bland final act that left me wondering why someone thought any of this was a good idea.
Amazing.
Because I was having dinner at the Spielbergs, and he said, run with it.
Here we go. This is from the Denver Post.
Okay.
Perhaps devoted fans of Jerry Seinfeld will find this animated movie, which he co-wrote and provides the lead voice for, charming. But this reviewer, B-movie, isn't quite as funny as The Swarm. It's inoffensive but bland.
Right.
Neither frisky nor imaginative enough to merit its even short 90-minute running time.
Oof.
The lack of energy in the picture can be measured by the fact that Barry's best pal is voiced by the permanently boring Matthew Broderick.
Amen. Finally. Finally somebody picks up on that.
Jerry slash Barry, that's the bee's name in the movie, and his friends must make things right in a flamboyant but strangely flat finale.
Permanently boring.
Wow.
That you will have problems explaining to your children.
Oh, dear.
Bee movie is more familiar than clever, and at times, as in the romantic triangle involving Vanessa, Ken, and Barry, it actually borders on the creepy.
Wow.
This is savaging, this movie. Do not go see it.
Things pick up in the few minutes when Chris Rock is on screen, but his contribution is counterbalanced by a truly dreary scene featuring a bee, Larry King.
Oh, they put Larry in the movie?
Visually, the picture is nothing special. The animation is the quality of Jimmy Neutron. And surprisingly, Jerry Seinfeld's voice lacks distinction. Simply put, he makes Barry a very boring bee.
Wow.
That's it. Boring, boring.
It's amazing. It's unanimous.
All right, let's go to Chicago Tribune.
Oh, they keep on coming. The hits keep on coming.
Moving east.
Let me see. As if there weren't enough money in Seinfeld's coffers.
Good start. All right,
you know this is going to be good.
Here he comes to milk the lucrative film family market. Blessed with children himself, Seinfeld wanted to make a movie that would hold appeal to youngsters, so he bid adieu to the cynical, bracing material that made his TV show pleasurable, and he said hello to bright magic marker colors, bad puns, and paint-by-numbers screenwriting. What better way to teach young audiences than to utilize the exact same CG animated template Hollywood has been abusing for over 10 years?
Amen.
The movie is not funny. That is the problem. None of it is funny.
Wow.
B-movie is consumed with mediocrity, playing it safe, tossing in the occasional adult reference towards race or religion, but the rest of the film is strictly honey-flavored pulp for kid matinees. Except we wouldn't recommend taking your kids.
Whoa. So not funny and don't take the kids.
Uh-huh.
Certainly B-movie could have been smarter, faster, and cleverer, and it's disappointing to watch Jerry Seinfeld fall on his face.
Wow. My goodness. Well, you know, maybe he will mellow now.
No, he won't. He'll get angry. Do you think this is going to motivate? I'm not going to go out a failure.
One last one. Yahoo Movies. This movie feels off kilter. with more attention on the details than on the narrative. Jerry Seinfeld's observational humor is relegated to the edges of a lightweight story that relies on elements we've seen too many times before. Like a bee, this movie appears to be awkwardly constructed.
Yeah. I think a bee is better constructed.
Like a bee, this movie appears to be awkwardly constructed.
Why, they don't like Jerry's movie.
Not at all.
They don't. Maybe he should stop and give autographs now.
Okay, what is this one? This is one from... Charlotte, North Carolina. Following Ants, A Bug's Life, Flushed Away, and Ratatouille, mm-hmm. B-Movie is another animated flick with a starry cast. Enough already.
Yeah, really.
There is zero life in this concept.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm glad somebody attacks the concept, too. Not only Jerry Seinfeld, but the concept.
And I just looked at the clock. I'm sorry. We really could go on and on. Those are the print stories about it. Yeah. If you go online.
Yes.
Go to this one, cinemablend.com.
Right.
Uh-huh. Slant.com.
Uh-huh.
Comingsoon.net.
Okay.
All over it.
They're all over there, yeah. He's getting really, you know, he's getting what he deserves, I think.
USA Today hated
it's
it,
so
too.
Nice. It's so great with the hype.
Here's my question. Even though we're all sick of being bombarded with the ads for it, and even though the reviews are unanimously negative about B-Movie, don't you think it's still probably going to be a big commercial
hit? It'll beat American Gangster.
I don't think it will.
I think it's going to be close. I think it's going
to
be close.
You're going to see.
I don't think it will. I know.
I hope it doesn't, but I think, you know, man.
It's almost like
this particular weekend.
It's like an obligation if you're a parent. You have to take your kids. Mm-hmm. There are some parents that have to take their kids to the movies to see this crap, but I think there are more adults that will go see American Gangster this weekend.
Yeah, boy, I hope you're right. But, you know, I just think it's because of that hype machine that's been running on B-Movie for so long. I think you're going to see a good box office the first weekend. But you never know. I mean, for kids' movies, for these kind of movies, the reviews don't mean a damn thing.
But usually, for these type of Pixar movies, if you look at the ad that they run in the newspaper, mm-hmm. they do have, like, spectacular, funny.
Right.
They had a quarter-page ad today mm-hmm. in the Washington Post that had two quotes.
Right.
One was from Gene Shalit from the NBC Today Show.
Did he like it?
A+.
Of course. Oh, he's an idiot.
And the other was from Jeffrey Lyons, and his credential was he reviews movies for NBC.
Wow.
Now, you got to know, mm-hmm. the movie is financed through NBC.
So Shalit is the Today Show.
Right, and the other
And then
guy,
Jeffrey Lyons is an NBC reviewer also?
Right, because we live in this world of full disclosure. They have to put God. He was. They must not have had anybody else that they could find.
Wow.
You know, where's Mark S. Allen?
Right.
Where's Arch Campbell when you need them?
Yes. A+. Interesting. I cannot stand Gene Shalit's reviews. Oh. I think I'm putting in a pun.
It was so horrible this morning because it's easy puns. He's
right,
like,
right.
You are really going to be entertained.
So, yeah, of course.
It's a honey of a movie.
Honey, Buzz.
Yeah, the whole thing.
All that crap. It'll, that's why he liked it.
You get high.
He liked it because it was easy for him to write his pun review.
And then his head fell off.
with his shoe polish hair that he's got.
He is handsome.
I'm going to seriously bet you, not like one of our, like, shave your head bets or anything.
Right, right.
I'll just bet you, just spin your hand and shake your hand, that American Gangster does better than B-Movie.
We will both be disappointed, but B-Movie will beat American Gangster at the box office this weekend.
I don't think so.
I hope I'm wrong.
You know what? This is weird. Neither of my kids want to see it.
Really?
They want to see everything.
Well, they are influenced by you.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
Don't you know at this point no one in my house listens to me anymore?
They're not listening to you anymore, father.
My kids call me their roommate.
I think the boy listens to you.
He listens, and then he weighs it with his own common sense, and he makes his own decision.
Do you think that there's a chance, a small chance, that the American people, even maybe kids, certain age kids, have tired of this concept, animated concept?
You know, it's been a while since with the exception of Ratatouille, which was really well embraced.
Even much as I loved Patton in Ratatouille, and I took my kids to Ratatouille the first weekend.
Yeah, it's like,
it was
right?
The format.
And
it was boring.
And for every Ratatouille, there have been four or five clunkers.
The first one that really junked the format was the Will Smith one where he was a fish.
Right.
That was almost unwatchable. And then
Shark Tale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Robots was bad.
You know what?
I have to watch them all.
There's the Pixar stuff and the stuff that runs together, but I really enjoyed Toy Story, and sure. I still
one and
think
two.
That yeah. is the that is still the
that's
gold
the standard,
standard,
right?
Yeah. I think the gold standard is Monsters, Inc. That was the one that I had to watch the most with my
that's
kids.
That's good too.
Yeah, but there hasn't been a real good one in a while.
I don't know why you looked
like
at me. You looked at me, and that made me laugh too because we laughed because of that.
You're a little. I'm a little closer in than you on the kids' just, movies.
Sometimes we're doing the show here, and I know that I have an overbearing presence. I know that I do, but Rob, you sometimes when you come to the microphone, you come with such force. It's like it doesn't matter what I was going to say or what Mike was going to say. God damn it. Your opinion on this is the right one.
It is.
And as soon as you started with Monsters, Inc., I just looked at Mike.
I know, we both cracked.
Come to my house and watch Monsters, Inc., and you'll see I'm right. It's going to be your favorite okay. Billy Crystal movie.
I liked Ice Age.
That was good, too.
Step away, please.
So long, friends.
There he goes.
Join me for my weekend show.
We just felt that at the exact same time. It was interesting. Oh, boy. Well, you know, it's his animated features. He feels very strongly about it. You know, here's what I think I figured it out. He got the most enthusiasm right at the singular moment that we were beginning to lose interest in the subject.
Yeah,
and that's why I wish I could duplicate that look.
And that's when he wanted to stand on the podium,
right at the end, right when the subject had been completely played out.
Right as everybody is done yelling, Attica, Attica, Attica.
I have a speech to give.
Listen to me.
Listen to me. But, Father, we want to go see the B-movie.
Oh, goddamn. And they're all bad.
Yeah.
They're all bad.
And it's fun because he is so arrogant. That's why we are enjoying this failure.
Yep.
If the guy wasn't arrogant, I'd feel different. You know, we certainly wouldn't have a strong opinion anyway, you know, one way or the other.
B-movie follows the formula of Ants, A Bug's Life. Follows this formula and brings little to the table other than Jerry Seinfeld. But like the onslaught of Penguin movies, they sometimes can do something new and different. This is not the case. Mm. B-movie is slow. It takes 45 minutes into the film before I thought the movie hit its stride. It was enforced by my 3-year-old son who bailed out of his seat and started inspecting the theater floor. If there is not hot bug action happening on the screen, B-movie gets dull. The storyline is disjointed. The movie jumps from a character drama to a spy movie to a courtroom drama to an adventure. The scenes jump a lot, too. P.S. Bad CGI.
Yeah. Ooh. And that'll kill it. I mean, that'll kill it. There is a standard that's been set for that kind of stuff.
Here's another one. You've heard, by the way, the bulk of B-movie takes place in a courtroom as Jerry the Bee lobbies to have humans stop stealing honey from bees.
Oh, God.
Devoting the extended middle of a kid flick to a trial makes as much sense as setting Star Wars in the world of Senate debates and trade embargoes. The result is a movie that is never funny.
Right.
Never meaningful. Mm-hmm. Never coherent. Never animated.
There are bad reviews and there are bad reviews. This is really, everybody's going, and everybody seems to be, do you sense that these critics are having a little fun tearing this down?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jerry's arrogance has gotten to more people than just us.
That's a great one. Never coherent, never animated. Right, get it?
Right.
Because it's cartoon.
Yeah.
And they love to pick on the animation of Jerry's character himself, with the Donny Osmond face.
The inside of Jerry Seinfeld's hive is untextured and boring. The outside of his hive is untextured and boring. And if there are jokes, I miss them.
Wow. Good.
Great.
Good. He needed to be, knocked down to size.
Good, good, and good.
We'll change him, though.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. I wondered if you wanted to also mention the plagiarism scandal that's swirling around Jerry's wife right now.
We had not heard about that.
She came out with a cookbook called Deceptively Delicious, and it's something about putting
that
chopped
bitch!
Spinach in, like,
that
brownies.
Bitch! That bitch!
Are you still there?
Yeah.
That bitch!
Good. Listen.
When you
carefully.
See news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call. The Don and Mike Show.
That bitch!
We've covered it.
Previous day.
We ran her away, Mike.
She's gone? Well, that's what that tape's designed to do.
We run her off.
Good.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Don, Mike, how are you?
Hey, what's happening? Someone else will call next with a bulletin that Michael Richards has said the N-word.
Absolutely.
Hi, Don and Mike, what's happening?
Don and Mike, I was just in Fredneck, Maryland, my error, but there's tons of people in line for B-movie, all these little kids and all these grandparents saying, we're going to go see the B-movie.
You know, maybe Mike is right. Maybe,
well, you know what it is? It's the little bitties.
Right.
And you remember this. You have no choice. I mean, if you're gonna go to the movies and you have a kid that's under five.
But let me say conversely, as someone who doesn't have kids
right.
below five anymore, mm-hmm. American Gangster, I am going to make time out of my weekend to see that movie.
Okay? Yeah, I might do the same thing.
And
yeah.
there are a lot of people. I mean, this looks like it might be the best movie that's come out since what?
I hope it's good. It's been a long time. Inc. What's that?
Monsters Inc. Hello there, Don and Mike.
Since Million Dollar Baby.
Hello. You think so, boy?
Boy.
Hello, boy.
Hey, what up?
What up?
Track lighting. How about with you?
Hey, what up, Vanilla Face? Me and my homie Ezra are looking for a place to post up our black asses.
You remind me of one of the cats I saw on that show, Madden Nation. Listen, as a Madden player and Madden lover,
right?
I have to confess to you that a TiVo Madden Nation, that ridiculous show where the idiot kids drive around in a bus.
So you can watch it in its entirety at your own convenience.
Well, I like seeing how they play the game.
Do they give you any tutorials at all on that show? Is it just watching guys play video? That is sad.
It's so retarded. And
that is so sad.
In between plays, they have something called Coach Cam, where they talk to these young punks, and it's like he says, you think I'm going to come up the left side, I'm going to come up the line and go bump, and I'm going to run it right up the right.
Man, I thought, when we started putting TV cameras on poker players, I thought it couldn't get much worse than that.
Well, it did.
And the problem is not the fact that they're slackers or they're roughies or whatever it is. It's the white guys on this show, Madden Nation, that want to be Eminem, and they all got the underpants hanging out, and they all got they're all doing everything like all white guys that are 5 years ago.
Right.
They got the hat on sideways,
mm-hmm.
and there's like eight black guys, four white guys on this bus.
Right.
Every white guy, every conversation is like, yo, you keeping it real.
Right.
I want to tell you something. You don't come to my house and, yo, let me tell you something, dog.
You know, what channel is Madden Nation on?
ESPN.
It's on ESPN.
Sure. On ESPN.
Well, and eventually you're going to have like a reality show called Dumps, where they just put a camera on people
dumping. I would watch that.
Well, it's moving to that. I mean, we're absolutely uh-huh. covering every facet of society.
I would watch Celebrity Dumps.
Celebrity Dumps.
What if it was, guess that Celebrity Dump?
Yeah, and of course, if you do it, you're going to have it in surround sound.
Dump bloopers.
Celebrity Dump would also feature Madden.
Oh, John Madden, that would be fantastic.
Would be good.
That would be the kind of celebrities that I would look forward to the most. That and maybe thin women.
My guess is Dan Dierdorf.
But I got to bring in a tape of that so we can play with these kids, these annoying white suburban kids.
Oh, of the Madden Nation?
Yeah. Like they show the white kid standing on the corner waiting for the bus.
Right.
And he says, well, I'm really nervous. I've been a fan of the Madden game, and I think I'm going to do as good as I can. And then the bus pulls up, and he's like, yo, homie, don't make me get this way with you, homie. Don't you do this to me. Yo. And, like, jumping in each other's face.
Do you learn anything from this Madden show?
No.
Just
no,
you're looking at guys that love playing the game.
I watch that TV show, and I'd say the same three words I think all the time. Thin the herd. Mm-hmm. Thin the herd.
Madden Nation. I still think Celebrity Dumps will be better. Celebrity Tonight on Celebrity Dumps.
Oh, I agree.
Chris Berman.
Hey, how about Drew Carey?
John Kruk. And Melissa Rivers. It should be fun. Tonight on Celebrity Dumps, we are going into the boudoir of Cher. On Celebrity Dumps.
Well, you could do it with all the current ones.
Yeah.
Wayne Newton.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour. Tonight on Celebrity Dumps, Jane Seymour with her food poisoning. It's an event you will not want to miss on Celebrity Dumps.
Oh, I love How about, that. Hold on, Mike. How about with Dumping with the Stars?
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. All right. Tonight, a very special Dumping with the Stars. as we go into the bedroom of the one and only Dom DeLuise on Dumping with the Stars. Dumping with the Stars.
Yeah,
Jimmy Kimmel. A perfect score for Mark Cuban.
We're still waiting on Regis. Regis just sitting on a commode.
Regis, if Regis doesn't take care of business in his allotted time, he'll be disqualified.
Last night, that half hour in between the office and whatever else happens in my life. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? I went there. Uh-huh. I went there. Did you? I didn't.
I refused to TiVo it or even look at it. My protest against Regis.
Why are you protesting Regis?
I don't like Regis on primetime. Regis should stay on his show.
I like Regis with the untucked checkerboard shirt where you can see his old man
body.
Jack LaLanne-like body. And he doesn't know how to carry himself in the situation.
Right.
I figured out, I don't watch this show a lot, the fifth grader show, but I think they do the best job of stretching five questions
padding
into 1 hour.
Right.
It's like, Regis, can you select a category? And he, of course, because he's an old man, is like, he's at Denny's at 4 o'clock. He can't make up his mind. They love this with the music and the excitement. That's funny.
Okay, I don't know Regis, whether to have the Rudy Tooty breakfast.
Regis has selected history. Yeah! Regis says, yeah! And he runs around the little kiosk because he's excited. And then every time Jeff Foxworthy is like Lucy pulling the football away, he says, Regis, we will get to your question right after the commercial.
Do you mean he does his Regis run, which is that phony old man run?
Yes.
Is that the same way when he's dancing with people and his feet are kind of,
yeah,
you know, he's afraid of falling, so he's trying to appear. Trying to appear that he's moving.
And every single time he falls into this trap with Jeff Foxworthy, where Jeff Foxworthy says, okay, Regis, are you ready for the question? Yes, I've run around the console. I've talked to the kids. Yes. And he says, right after the commercial.
Yeah.
And truly,
padding.
The old man is crestfallen.
Did he win?
I wish I could tell you.
Didn't linger with it, huh?
Did not.
Couldn't
not
stay
to
with
change
it.
The topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
Everybody.
There
won.
You go.
We have his clip.
A colostomy. We have a clip from Regis?
We have a clip, yeah.
Is it worth playing?
We'll tell you how much he won. I think he won some money, but then quit.
So Kelly was right when she called that. When Kelly Ripa said you wouldn't be talking about it so much if you didn't win.
Which one?
Number two.
1936 Berlin Olympics. Man, Hitler hated her.
What the hell was that? Did you get it? Was that from your private archive, Rob?
I simply pressed the button. Rob indicated press machine number two.
He wanted that to be heard.
That was Monsters, Inc.
The fifth grade literature question. It's worth $300,000, and here it is. Two roads diverged in a wood. And I took the one less traveled by, are lines from the poem, The Road Not Taken, written by what American poet?
Robert Frost.
Not?
If I give you the incorrect answer, we lose
$150,000.
Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
You dropped that back down to $25,000.
And if I have it right, well,
if you give me the right answer, we jump up to $300,000, and we're one question away from the million.
How I'd love to do that, you know. But see, that's why I needed Nathan and Cody and the gang here. And I blew it by using them too quickly, too soon.
You're right about the padding.
I really don't know. It'd just be a silly, stupid guess, and I'd look like an idiot.
Don't worry, Reach. That can't happen.
And that's what you'd like.
You want to drop out and look really smart? And take $175,000.
I'm going to take $175,000 to my school.
Pixie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that Robert Frost? I'm not sure.
Pretty sure it is.
I think it is.
You know, whenever I see those, even when you play the smallest clip from a television show, I want to know what the answer is.
Did you see the picture of Regis when he graduated elementary school?
I did not.
It looked like it was from 1850.
Well, it was.
Black and white and him in a real tight suit.
What does Regis claim his age to be? I think, because I'm beginning to realize.
Isn't it 75, 74, 75?
I think maybe late 70s.
Is it really? I'd like to know. Well, then he's probably being honest about it. I think he might say early 70s, and I think
he's... Is he younger or older than Pat?
I think he is.
Pat Philbin?
Pat Philbin.
Yes.
I think he may be stretching the truth about his age.
Just a bit.
For goodness sakes, we got to do this right now. Hey, we got to pay the bills.
Yeah, the light bill. Yes, sir. You don't want to turn off the electricity.
Got to pay the bills. I'm Shoot.
And I'm Liver.
And I'm Weed.
Kid Hitler.
And we're all going to be featured tonight on Dumping with the Stars. That's right, Shoot, Liver, and Weed, along with Kid Hitler. We'll see who finishes first in our speed round next on Dumping with the Stars.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
There, girl.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Is this what you do all day?
Does that look like a woman being taken against her will?
That still doesn't explain how your skin got under her fingernails.
Look, Weatherly was... How can I put this delicately? She was an ass scratcher, man. She liked to scratch my ass. She wasn't pushing me away, man. She was pulling me in. Brass, look at my ass. Freaking claw marks.
Are you trying to make me throw up, Mr. Putrid?
The second greatest show on earth, the Don and Mike program.
That's right, Clay.
There he is.
Gay.
What you going to do? All that junk inside your cup.
What glorious goo.
One wonders
gay sex.
What the,
whoa.
One wonders what Clay Aiken is doing when he's making that sound.
Looks like baby vomit.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
Idiots. Yep. Because they choose to be Don and Mike.
Correct them under. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Burgerlicious.
What is with that song?
With the one we played or the one he was just singing?
Either one.
Where's the rhythm, right?
I like the yin 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 yin.
Yin 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 yin. Yeah.
He's got good. You've got good rhythm with it, you know.
Yin 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 yin. Nye hump. Yin 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 yin. It's falling down.
Wow.
Now, Mike, never. We never edit Mike's coughs.
I occasionally not my coughs, but I occasionally will belch. I occasionally will cough, but my sneezes, I do not burden the listeners with.
We never edit Mike's sneezes.
That's your bag, man.
Can we hear a Donald Duck sneeze?
Okay. Yeah, it would be a pleasure. Buzz, will you throw the imaginary pepper in my face?
Here it comes.
Huzzah.
Bravo.
Huzzah.
Better than the B movie.
I said thank you, but it sounded like something else.
Oh, boy. How about Donald getting a Hummer?
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
I'm here all week. Thank you.
Donald Duck does not wear pants.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It's a fact. He just wears like a muumuu. A smock, if you will. Donald's got staying power. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hey, yeah, I was wondering, you were talking about Jerry Seinfeld, wondering if you had heard Jerry on the Larry Show.
Jerry Seinfeld's on the Larry King's show?
Rob says he was surly. He was in a bad mood on the Larry King show.
We got it. Jerry Seinfeld's. Yes, we've got the tape. Hey,
you do? Cool. Great. I'd love to hear it again.
Thanks for calling. The Don's, right, Don's and Mike's show.
And no, shameless shilling there with getting on Larry King, because Larry's in the movie, of course.
Sure I am, boy.
Sure there.
What the bleep happened here?
What happened to this horrible movie?
Okay, here it is right here, Mike.
Ooh, there's your comic book.
Here it is, the issue number 189 of World's Finest Comics, Superman and Batman Together.
Yay.
November 1969. Straight from eBay and...
Has that eBay smell to it?
It has that old comic book smell
old
to
paper.
It.
Like it's been sitting in somebody's garage.
Yep, and some of the ads in the back are like Muscle Builder for $1.98.
Uh-huh.
Top Hit Records, 75 cents and up.
What year is it?
1969.
69, okay.
And right there is Cape and Cowl comments.
There it is.
And there's my letter. I know Jan read it yesterday. Careful with the page.
Yeah, they're brittle.
It's the second column over.
Okay.
Can you read it out loud?
Dear editor, capital letters, World's Finest number 184 was terrific. I really liked the grown-up Robin. As we say it over here, he was gross. That really means big, but we use it like cool or tough. Tough spelled T-U-F-F. I like that. Those words sure describe the adult Robin. But I have a complaint. Look at Superman on page 8. Hey. Panel 2. This is outrageous. He looks like he's staring, like he's starting to get bald. Mike Sauce. Heidelberg, Germany.
Beautiful. So that's when I got my letter printed in a comic book.
That is very delicate. That's a very, very...
And now we shall take that.
That's an artifact.
Take a photograph of the cover and also that page. We'll put it on our website.
Very, very cool.
At DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Your first published work. Your first foray into entertaining people.
I could be like Bobby Frost, the aforementioned B. Frost.
B. Frost.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening?
Not much. Hey, Mike, you were correct about that. I'm a fifth grader question. It was Robert Frost.
Good. I'm not exactly proud of that one. That's a pretty obvious poem.
I like his brother, Jack.
Jack Frost.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yo, Trump kicks it. Go away, so beautiful girl. It'll never work. You have me.
Please, no. I do everything I can to avoid this song in real life. Someone's going to call us up and play it over the phone for us.
I thought for a second it was somebody actually who's doing it, you know?
Yeah,
it was the real deal.
Yeah, it's somebody playing the
beautiful girl. And doesn't that have that little synthesizer technique in it, too?
You
know,
where
they tweak the voice a little bit.
The riff from Stand By Me is the riff they use.
And don't they do the...
They do the thing like with Cher. Do you be...
Yeah, that's right. I love that technique.
Hi there. Don and Mike Show.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
All you do is take.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
No. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how y'all doing?
What's happening?
Nothing much. Hey, do you remember the old Vampirella and Creepy and Cousin Eerie magazines?
I do not, my friend.
Vampirella.
Vampirella.
Yeah, Vampirella. Well, they also had from that company Famous Monsters of Film.
Oh, no, I do remember the Monsters magazine.
Yeah, I still have a box of those in mint condition, and just looking through those were classic magazines at that time with all the stuff you could buy, the models and the comic books and everything.
My friend,
like that.
I tell you what, sometime, let's get your name and number. You and I and other like-minded listeners can all take off our shirts and sit Indian style in a big, gigantic circle. And Buzz can come over and talk to us about Classics Illustrated.
Yeah. You know what I'd like to get?
What?
I mean, I'm just going to weigh in here. I'd like to get old Penthouse magazines.
Yeah.
Like going way back, like from back in the day.
The ones that don't show anything?
No, the ones that show everything back in the day. Well, back in the day, Penthouse, remember when Penthouse first came out?
Uh-huh.
And it was a competitor of Playboy, and everybody went, oh, my God, it's so much better because Bob Guccione did it only one way. He actually, decided to show everything.
Oh, that's right, because it was all like OBGYN shots.
Yeah, Penthouse sucks now. I mean, it's a terrible magazine, but I'd love to see
the
collection.
You stopped reading Penthouse when they stopped showing women going pee-pee. That's true.
That's why I canceled my subscription.
They pulled back.
Hey, those used to find their way into the studio, and I found it fascinating.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Radio show.
But I can still get plenty of those magazines.
Hello, Don and Mike
that have
Show.
Just that.
Hello.
America Rocks!
Well, isn't the name of one of those magazines, You're in Luck?
That's right.
You're in the right place? Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're in for a good time? Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. This is Doug the Bounty Hunter. I have a message for the N-words.
Hi, Don and Mike. What a shock. Everybody wants to riff on that today.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I guess that it's one day, right? It's one day to day of mourning.
Too bad this couldn't have happened before Halloween.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hey, David Frost. Hey, I'm the king of the frost.
You know, I was going to say David Frost, but that doesn't count when you call after the fact. No.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. We weren't really playing the Frost game.
No,
we weren't.
No.
Hello?
There's only one Homovember.
That's a little. I like this is Impressionist Friday with a Dane Cook impression.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. Yes, I was wondering if you have seen the movie Idiocracy.
I live it, sir. Why see it when you live it? It's no Monsters Inc. I'll tell you that.
Idiocracy, or as we like to call it, the Bush administration.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, is Idiocracy in any way related to idiot?
Well, sure. It's. Based
I mean,
on
I'm very. Word. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's based on the word, yeah.
Or is it like
I think it's a made up word?
Is it a made up word?
I think so. Let me find out.
All right. Idiocracy.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
Nothing. I just wanted to call and say I love your show.
We're bathing in your idiocracy right now.
I'd be very curious. It might be a made. Buzz might be right. It might be a made up word.
We're soaking in it. Hello, Donna. My show. Hello.
Hello. I hear breathing.
No, there's nothing there. That may be a software problem.
So gently turning of pages in dictionary.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Nobody focuses on the fact we're doing a radio show. You know, how many times have we asked these numbskulls, Google something for us or find something that's pertinent? If it's look up a word time.
Oh, they go crazy.
They all dive into it,
sure,
and it really becomes a contest.
It's fun to learn.
Well, I do love the what I did find. There is no such word as idiocracy, but the technical definition of idiot is a person afflicted with idiocy, especially a feeble-minded person with a mental age not exceeding 3 years and requiring complete custodial care.
Hi, Joe!
Idiot.
But an idiot.
That dictionary is like 100 years old. The current Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary says idiocracy is a word now, apparently. It's a peculiarity of constitution, that temperament or state of constitution that's peculiar to a person.
Mine is copyright 2007, and it says ignore previous edition.
Buzz beat you on that one, Rob.
Yeah, he trumped you. And, he got you bad.
I go by this one.
And Regis is 76.
Okay.
Oh,
very good.
Look at that. Wow. Buzz is just bitch slapping you, Rob.
Buzz has never seen Monsters.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I have two.
Hey, Don and Mike.
He lives it every day.
I was talking about how his wife doesn't cook.
Now that is a word.
Somebody give me a C.
Good night.
Having said that, you are with a capital C.
That was horrible.
I remember coming home once, and my father says, C's are not allowed in this house.
What a horrible thing to say.
Can I offer counterpoint?
I wanted to know why Rob married such a wonderful woman. He had to use a word that we had to delete out.
My counterpoint is, oh, yeah?
Somebody give me a C.
Way to fight it, Rob.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
He's mentally retarded.
Johnny
Who he?
Bravo!
The Don and Mike Show.
But you come because we were calling you.
I want to put that in my walkthrough.
Okay. Joe. Okay, Joe. Thought he heard his song.
All right. Thanks, Otto.
There he is.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Thank you, Charlie.
No problem.
Something stinks like stale French fries.
Why do you favor Raiden?
I'm not happy.
I wouldn't be happy either, Holly. I mean, Paula.
Paula.
Paula?
Paula Goldstein.
Shut up.
Okay. I know what I do like.
Mommy boobies.
Do you like those, Clay?
Tied forever at the kneecaps, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right.
Oh, do I love this song.
Donaldo E. Miguel. Hola.
Hello.
Spanglish.
Hello, would you like to talk to us?
Hello.
Yes, Don and I, sure.
Would you like to talk to us?
Hello, Elzol Power 106. Hola.
It's your turn.
Come on. Jamming in the morning.
I'm a retard. Oh.
Well, I believe those were the retard police coming to get him.
Coming to take him.
I think that I may be in the retard police. I purchased two tickets. Thank God I don't have to go to this for Paula Deen live tomorrow.
Where's she going to be?
She's going to be at she's doing a sex show at the Warner Theater.
That's going to be great.
A live sex show with her sons.
She's going to be live on stage. Huh?
Wow. Yeah. You know, my girlfriend is real into Paula Deen and everything that's the Food Network. So
yeah.
I cannot imagine a more hideous weekend, but she's doing it with my sister-in-law, Judy. Ah. The two of them are going down tomorrow to downtown D.C. to see Paula Deen uh-huh. perform sex acts. Uh-huh. And then the next day on Sunday, it's some type of cooking exhibition. This is the thing that makes me slightly worried.
Is that related to Paula Deen or is the show just Paula Deen? The cooking exhibition is the next day?
Well, there's some type of cooking exposition going on this weekend.
Oh, okay. So is that why Paula Deen's in town, probably?
For her big sex show.
Yeah, the sex show is in addition to a...
Right.
Will she be cooking before the sex show at all?
Oh, yeah. I think her sons cook on her.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They actually melt butter on her.
Pour it in her belly button.
They pour hot butter in her belly button. So clarified butter.
Jan's going over the itinerary with me, saying, you know, my sister-in-law is going to arrive tomorrow. I always like having Judy. She's the perfect house guest. She truly is my sister-in-law. And she said, so we're going to be going to this thing, and then we're going to go downtown afterwards, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just kind of tuning this out. And she said, and then Sunday, and she waited just a second to see if I was paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes. She said, we're going to a knife sharpening seminar.
Oh. I hate to tell you this, but I am intrigued. I am one who is a compulsive knife sharpener, and I'd love to get a better edge on my knives.
As long as that knife is not being pointed at me, OJ style, uh-huh.
Would you, have her drop me an email if she gets any valuable information? Because I never, you know, I use all the gadgets that you have, the chef's helper, and you know, and I never get a good edge on my knives.
I know.
I hate that.
She loves cooking. So anyway, I'm going to see what happens with Paula Deen.
Well, I would assume at some point this weekend you may have a fairly decent meal prepared for you. If she's going to be getting all this cooking stuff.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I did tell her to get me a Paula Deen t-shirt.
The one with the nipples cut out, right?
Yeah, the one where she's getting it from both sides.
Paula Deen.
By her sons.
Paula, and you said the other day that you'd, you know, Paula Deen is somebody that was I saying it or were you saying it?
I would take a stick of butter and I would rub it all over Paula Deen.
Yeah, now you're turning me on.
I'd lube her up real good and I'd
wrestle with her a little bit, play Twister.
Here's the thing. I don't know if would I be able to support the weight, cuz you know I always like girl on top.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't know if that's going to work out with Paula Deen.
I think she's zoftic. But she's petite at the same time. Uh-huh. I don't think she's a tall woman.
No, but she got
you know, now Julia Child at her heaviest, right. that would have been an effort.
Yeah.
But I think you could handle Paula Deen.
I bet you could.
I really do.
I'd
I think you could manhandle Paula Deen.
Anyway, something that my girlfriend told me that she was interested in, and she said that Paula Deen, what are you laughing at?
I'm not going to bust but a picture of Paula
Deen.
Since
you said you'd do her, right?
And it just works so much better.
I mean, I'm serious. You know what she is? She's Nancy Grace with about 30 extra pounds.
True.
You know, that's a great analogy. I mean, she is. She actually is.
I'm Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace.
I'm Nancy Grace. I'm pregnant.
Are you attracted to Nancy Grace, too?
We've had this discussion before, Mike. Yes, I would do Nancy Grace. Absolutely.
I think Nancy Grace fluctuates in her weight, and I think there are times when they might even overlap. There are times when Nancy Grace looks a little hefty.
I'd pay to see that.
Oh, man. I bet Nancy Grace is nasty.
She is the crankiest lady on TV.
I bet she's just nasty. You know what?
Nancy Grace.
She spends a lot of time on her TV show and dealing with the issues of the law. I don't think she spends a lot of time down there.
She has
what I mean.
She has a demon growing inside of her.
I think she has more than a demon growing there.
She is pregnant, though. Did you know that?
Is she
Nancy
really?
Grace
no.
Is?
Yes, she is.
I didn't even know she was a married lady. Is she married?
Mommy boobies.
Is this a child of sin?
I don't know if there's a Mr. Grace. Will and Grace.
Mark Grace.
Oh. You know, if it's last name Grace and you got me with a cub.
Topher Grace.
King of the Graces.
Amazing Grace.
F you. Only because you got me on the cub.
I know.
I should have known a
Mark Grace.
Cub.
Well, he was doing analysis for the World Series.
Righto. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike about. Hey, is this Don?
Yeah, hold on. I want to ask Mike something first.
Yes.
Speaking of sports, Jim Schwartz, really, sports shorts.
Sports!
Who you like? Do you really like the Patriots this weekend?
In the game, I think that it is in Indianapolis, and I think that I think the Patriots are that much of a juggernaut. I think they really are going to win the game. I really do.
I think it's Colts.
Well, the Colts have, take something like the intangibles of a home field advantage. The Colts at home, it's a pretty significant thing. I think the Patriots are just that good. They just the way they've been playing this season. And however, you will be curious. You'll be interested to know that I actually might not be starting Tom Brady.
Why?
Because they're playing the Colts. I think this is going to be perhaps a down weekend for Brady.
I am definitely not playing the Colts defense in fantasy, even though I think they're going to win the game.
I'm going to play probably Tony Romo this weekend.
Tony Romo, right. Tony
who
Romo.
Are the Cowboys? Who are the Cowboys playing this
they
weekend?
They play the Andy Reid Drug Emporiums on Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tony Romo.
And what else did I just see Tony Romo on TV for? Saying that he's not banging Britney Spears.
Right.
Good for him.
Tony Romo.
Well, Robbie?
It was great. He even went so far as to say that he is disgusted by her.
Oh, good.
But let her do the lap dance because that's what she wanted.
Really?
That's true.
That's all good right. For her self-esteem.
Makes me wonder about the lad in Cowboy Land. He just got that huge contract. You know, I want my quarterbacks to be like Tom Brady,
right?
Peyton Manning. All I want them to do is focus on football.
Yeah, and with the number of the starlets he's been linked to.
It was in the paper today. During the Cowboys' bye week, he and T.O. made two separate trips to Vegas.
Oh, really?
Then Tony Romo made another trip to L.A. to be with Britney Spears. Then he went to the premiere of some video game with another piece of ass in Dallas as well.
Really?
Yeah.
And he has been linked to an amazing amount of women. It's amazing.
Carrie Underwood.
And, right. If he just stayed with Carrie Underwood, that would have been the nice, wholesome image. But, when you throw Britney, unfitney Spears into the mix, mm-hmm. y'all.
I think the Colts will win. I hope they will win. I think if the Colts win, it will be by a huge margin.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I really think the Patriots are going to go 16-0, baby.
Well, that would be incredible. I think they're good enough to do that this year.
Hello there. Don and Mike, what's happening?
Hey, you were talking about Paula Deen?
Yes, endlessly.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you what, as soon as she started laughing, I'd start choking her. That woman's got the worst laugh I've ever heard.
She does have that evil. It's not as bad
and
as
she's always
she
doing
laughing.
It.
Yeah, but hold on a second. You sure do know that laugh a lot for someone who complains about it.
My wife watches her religiously.
Hold on now, listen.
And Rachel Ray the same way.
That is my excuse as well. My girlfriend watches these shows, but I got to tell you, I do Paula Deen even with that laugh.
I have the most legitimate bone to pick with Paula Deen, and that's because last year at Thanksgiving, I made her Thanksgiving stuffing.
That's right.
And I swear to God, it was the foulest stuff. Now, I might have screwed it up.
It started the butter shortage of 06.
She put in this recipe called for an amount of butter that I am I'm serious that I thought people might have died at the table. That's how bad it was. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened with the worst heartburn. And you know what was coming up? Paula Deen stuffing. And I'll never forgive her for
the
that.
Butter, yeah. Don't hate the player, Mike.
And you know, you really don't need to worry about her laugh.
Or don't hate the game.
You know what I did, you know, speaking of dieting?
What?
What I did recently, I took another one of her recipes and tried it, though.
Which one?
It's the one where she fills the skillet full of canola oil, and she takes the store-bought biscuits that you buy in the, and you roll them out, and then you...
Was this during the week you lost 4 pounds?
This is the week I gained. And, I had my kids, and I was doing it. And she takes the thing, she said,
Now, y'all, my grandma used to take these biscuits, and we'd roll them out, and then you put apple pie filling, and then you glue them together, the two ends of the biscuits that are all rolled out, and you make fried pies.
So, my little fried pie, and as soon... I didn't even tell you guys about this. When I went to roll out my biscuit, it's like... It's rubber.
Yeah.
It doesn't do it. Now, it did it on her TV show, but it didn't do it when
Don't blame her, Mike.
And I totally, you know how many I made? I only made two of them.
What did you do with the rest of the pie filling?
I threw it out.
Okay, good. Yeah.
After a few bites.
After a couple
of bites, it was apple, you know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Let me tell you something. When you were giving us that news information there, yeah. Oh, man, I loved it. Anyway, got to run. Number one fan.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good call.
Hi there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, go Colts this weekend. I'm with you on that one, Don. And as far as your animated movies goes, if I could go back to that, I thought...
we got another more important call here. I'm sorry. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, number one fan. That was an awesome job that you did with the contest.
Thank you.
I can't wait until you do another one. Got to run. Right. Number one fan.
Take care. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Hi there, Don and Mike show.
Yes, I have to let you know that the creator of Idiocracy is Mike Judge, who created Beavis and Butthead, and Luke Wilson is in it, and it could be one of the funniest movies of all time.
All right, we do thank you.
Good to know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, number one fan. I just wanted to call in and say great job giving us the sports scores.
Thank you. Excellent job.
Keep up the great work. Anyway, I got to run. Number one fan.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Appreciate the call.
That's
the kind of call we like to get once in a while.
Next call.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Great job with the traffic. Excellent job
telling us
what's happening, you know, with what roads to take and
appreciate
all that stuff.
All right.
Number one fan.
Thank you.
Be our number one fan. Check it.
That's terrific. I always like to hear from him.
Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hey.
I'm sorry. Hear from her.
What's up? Hello.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Hey. I listened to that dog tape a lot yesterday,
and
I've been thinking about it a lot, and I've come to the conclusion that it seems racist.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey guys, number one fan. Excellent job doing the forecast.
Thank you
so much for telling us what the temperature is and all that stuff. I got to run. Number one fan.
Our pleasure.
Number one fan. We'll
Thanks a
right,
lot.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
That was not funny.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants with a victory against the Eagles tonight could reduce the edge to a half a game. Not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Bottom buddies, Don and Mike.
Biggest weekend of the year thus far, football. We were talking about the Colts and the Patriots.
That's one of the biggest regular season games in the last 10 years.
Normally on our Pick the Pros into the Scab and Lead segment, we'd have JB or we had Nancy on already this week.
That's right.
This week, we are going in the Wayback Machine to a guy we wanted to have on the show for a long time and a guy who's a big football fan.
Right.
Come in, Jamie Farr. Hello, Jamie.
Yes, hello. Is that Don and Mike?
Yeah, yes. Jamie Farr. How are you?
I've been listening to your program on the internet, and I feel very much the way Don does. I like the Colts. but I think the Patriots are going
to
win.
Well, let's welcome Jamie Farr to the show. Want to mention for everybody listening to us in Las Vegas, the $250,000 game show spectacular with host Bob Eubanks, Chuck Woolery, and Jamie Farr is now playing at the Vegas Hilton Theater. Showtimes 1:30 and 3:30.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. We've been doing it now for the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've had nice crowds. Bob Eubanks has Mondays and Tuesdays. Chuck has Wednesdays and Thursdays. I have Friday, and always on Saturday. And if any of your listeners are coming to Las Vegas, I got a nice deal for them. They can call a 1-800 number and get two tickets for the price of one. The 800 number is 222-5361.
How long do you see yourself doing the show?
Our contract is until the end of December, and if it does well, they'll continue with it. We play about 4 or 5 different games. We play a little bit of Card Sharks, The Gong Show, Name That Tune, The Newlywed Game. We got some stunts in it, and everybody in the audience that has a valid ticket has an opportunity at the end of the show to come up and try to win $250,000. And if that happens, everybody in the audience that has a ticket, a valid ticket, wins $100.
Well, Jamie, you've been a game show contestant. How did you find yourself in the role of hosting a game show?
Well, I've been doing game shows for the last 30 years, as you said, as a panelist and as a celebrity contestant. And I've been asked numerous times by either Merrill Heater, right, and Quigley and Mark Goodson to host game shows, but I never wanted to do it because as an actor, I felt that it would hurt you. There are only a few actors that have made the transition where they could do a game show and then still act. Burt Convy was one, right, and Larry Blyden was another. So I just didn't want to do it. And although I've done some pilots, I did something for Dick Clark, and I've also substituted for some of the other game show hosts when they were ill on their games, I just never wanted to do it. But Bob came to me, Eubanks did, and he said, "Hey, Jamie, this is in-house. It's not going to be televised. So would you like to be a part of it?" And I said, "Yeah." So there I am.
You're still open to an acting gig if
one
comes along?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going to a screening tomorrow. I did a Christmas movie for the Hallmark Channel with Ernest Borgnine, who is 90 years old.
Wow.
Catherine Hellman, Richard Libertini, and Tracy Nelson. And it'll be on the month of Christmas, the month of December, on the Hallmark Channel. It's called Grandpa for Christmas. And Ernie is just absolutely wonderful in it. And he is so facile. He not only knew his own lines, he knew your lines.
So he's still getting it done.
Oh, yeah. Ernie's a wonderful man. And we had great stories to exchange because my first movie was Blackboard Jungle with Glenn Ford and Sidney Poitier, which brought Rock Around the Clock, Bill Haley and the Comets. And then Ernie also did the Wild Bunch with Bill Holden. And I had done the first miniseries with Bill called The Blue Knight, which Bill won an Emmy for. So we had great stories to exchange about William Holden and Glenn Ford.
You've been doing this for a while, too. Actually, long before you became best known for your role on TV's MASH.
Oh, yeah. This is my 54th year I'm celebrating.
Wow, that's
and
cool.
I tell you the truth, I'm a blessed guy. It's been amazing. I've had a varied career. I've directed, I've written, I've produced, I've acted. I've done live television in the early days with Red Skelton carrying half of his show. Did some of the early Playhouse 90 kind of shows and that, and I worked with Lucille Ball, Bob Hope, Andy Griffith, Dick Van Dyke, Red Skelton, as I said, Danny Kaye. So it's been just fantastic. Directors like Richard Brooks and George Stevens. It's been an absolutely sensational career.
You've worked with them all. Now, obviously, MASH more of a blessing than a curse, but was your role on the TV show MASH kind of an albatross for you in terms of acting immediately after that show?
You know, I got lucky. We did a show called After MASH for 2 years, and that wasn't very successful. But it was a little quiet. But I started in the theater, so I went to Broadway. I was in your city. I took over for Nathan Lane in Guys and Dolls about 13 years ago, doing Nathan Detroit, and then I did road companies of shows. Last year, I did the one man show, Say Goodnight Gracie, George Burns. Frank Gorshin had done it at the Helen Hayes Theater in New York, and I took it across the country on tour. I've done so many other things, movies of the week, all the Cannonball Run movies, all the movies that I've done for television. So it does a little bit, but at the same time, I think more than anything that hurts you is when you get a little older, your age is against you, because it's pretty much of a youth market in television and movies today.
You sound great. You sound energetic. You feel good.
Oh, I feel sensational. It's just absolutely wonderful. I was telling your producer we had a scare a couple weeks ago with those fires. They got kind of close, and we thought we were going to have to evacuate, but we were safe. And those firemen, I know your city owes a great deal to the firemen in New York City, and
absolutely,
of course our firemen here in L.A., they're next to saints. They really stand there and put their lives on the line to protect your home and property. They're just the most wonderful people in the world.
America's bravest. You say that the fires actually did get close to you and your family?
This time it didn't. Earlier one, one a couple of years ago, it came right to the back of our house, and they stayed here, and they were vigilant and kept the fire away. My son was in Santa Clarita, he and his wife and our grandson, and they were going to have to evacuate. That's the one that was near Magic Mountain. So the one, we're not too far from Malibu, so we were going to be caught in the middle. The Malibu was heading north, and the other fire was heading south, so we were in the middle of it.
You were surrounded. Now, on this Vegas game show, this is sort of a live performance of a game show.
It is.
Whose idea was that? How did a non-televised game show come to be?
Well, the Bally's Hotel has been doing The Price is Right for, I think, about a year.
Uh-huh.
And it's been very successful as an afternoon show. But the problem with Price is Right, if you've seen the show, it's rather limited in terms of winners and participation with the audience. So Bob Eubanks and his producer said, hey, why don't we put in a game show where you can have 50 winners and get up there and let the audience be the participants, let them be the stars of the show. So they took it to the Hilton. They said, hey, we like this idea. So they're trying it out. And thus far, it's been pretty good. We've had some nice crowds. The audience just loves it. We have some kind of stunt participation, truth or consequence kind of things where we surprise the audience a little bit. We picked the audience through their ticket stubs and then randomly, like for the newlywed game and things like that. And the audience loves it. They play card sharks. And, of course, the Gong Show, my old...
Right.
That show, I got to tell you, doing that when we were doing it for real was quite an adventure with Chuck Barris and J.P. Morgan.
Now, we've had Chuck Barris on the show or not, and you've heard about, you've probably seen his movie or
you
read
his CIA
book.
CIA thing?
Exactly. Yeah. I got to ask you, what do you think?
I don't think so.
You don't think he was a CIA spy?
George Clooney's production company is named after me. Next time you see one of his movies, you'll see it's produced by Section 8.
That's right. I've noticed that, as a matter of fact.
He named it after me. I did a movie of the week with George quite a few years ago with Bob Culp. And he was telling me that if he ever, got into the producing end, he was going to name it Section 8.
Well, Section 8, an old military term, but one that became closely associated with you. I had no idea Clooney named his production company in honor of you and your character.
Yeah, that's it. That's trying to get out of the army by claiming you're crazy. So
now that's the role you became most beloved for, and you're aware, Jamie, of just how beloved and strongly remembered you still are to this day, even though TV's MASH has been off the air for how long now? Quite a while.
It hasn't been off the air. It's been out of production.
Well, yeah, that's true. It never goes off the air.
No, I tell you, it's played every half hour someplace in the world. I know Hallmark Channel at times probably plays it 8 times in a day. TV Land has it, and then it's in syndication all around the country. So it's a blessing. Let me tell you, when those quiet moments when the phone isn't ringing, it's a lot of fun to go down to the mailbox. And usually, if I got a nice big check in there, my wife comes back and says, "Hey, we're buddies."
Now, do you keep in touch with any of the old cast members?
Yeah, matter of fact, Loretta just called. Loretta's birthday is coming up in the next day or two, and she's going to have a party, I think, Sunday night. So she said, "Harry Morgan is 93, and it's kind of a little tough for him to get around. He's got a walker, and Mike Farrell and Shelley Fabre will probably be there. I heard from Alan, he has a new book out, and he sent us a copy, and I told him how much I enjoyed the book. But yes, we all get together. The nice thing about it is that we talk about our grandchildren now, which is so exciting.
And Radar, Gary Berghoff.
Gary lived in Northern California. Right. We don't hear from Gary that much. Gary does not fly. He has a camper, which he travels around. And he's quite an artist. He does wildlife, Audubon kind of things with watercolors.
Ah.
And he's excellent. He has a lot of exhibitions around the United States.
So he's kind of the John Madden of painters, then.
Exactly.
He doesn't like to fly. And speaking of John Madden, we understand you're a huge football fan as well.
Well, yes, I love the game. I've always enjoyed it. I can't believe what the Patriots are doing. As soon as they got Randy Moss, that turned them into some kind of a machine.
You don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
What are your other picks for football this weekend?
Well, I think Brett Favre is unbelievable.
Sure.
I saw that game the last week, and at 38 years old, the guy is just remarkable. I think he's. I think the Packers will beat the Chiefs. I think the Redskins will beat your Jets. I think that I think after that humiliation last week that they want to prove something. So I think the Jets might be their raw meat that they're going to go after. I think the Cowboys will beat the Eagles.
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty simple one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. That's a safe bet.
What's a tough one to call? You know what? I'm going to go with my Detroit Lions against the Broncos, even though the Broncos played so well last week.
Well, there it is. Jamie Farr picks the pros for this weekend's football game. Jamie, are you following the writer's strike, the progression of that?
Yeah, I heard that they're on strike today. So far, our Screen Actors Guild, they're in sympathy with them, but
right.
they're not striking. Is that going to affect you guys at all?
I don't think so. No, those of us in AFTRA, the American Federation of Television Radio Artists, it's now combined with SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, and I understand that SAG members are going to walk the picket lines with the writers, but they're also going to cross them and continue to work during at least the initial stages
of the strike. Yeah, well, I guess SAG's got one coming up, and so does AFTRA, I think very soon, so... Yeah, a couple of years ago, I walked the picket line when SAG went out doing that. It's kind of funny to see all these famous faces with pickets in front of the studios where you're hoping, please, God, give me another series.
Well, it looks like it is official. Just checking the wire, Jamie, they have voted to go ahead with the strike on November 5th, which is Monday. So the strike is on as of this weekend. And I'm going to guess that you naturally side with the artist in a situation
like
this.
Oh, of course. I always do. Thank goodness for residuals. Unfortunately, you take a show like Gilligan's Island, Bob Denver's no longer with us. But the poor guy did that for like 2 years.
Yep.
He hardly made any money off of that, and he was stigmatized with being Gilligan. He couldn't get really a job anyplace in town after that, and he didn't get any residuals.
Yeah, back then they were paying nothing for reruns, nothing compared to what they pay today.
Yeah, well, my reruns, I mean, listen, we've been off the air for, 25 years out of production.
Right.
And can you imagine what these people are getting today? When you think about it, Alan Alda, in his final season, was getting... And he was the kingpin. He was getting $100,000 an episode. These kids today, they get some of them getting $1 million an episode.
Exactly.
700 and some odd thousand an episode. And so it's just remarkable. It's just like the athletes. I mean, Joe DiMaggio's best year was $100,000.
Right.
So you can imagine what they're making today. I was just a little late in being on a hit TV series.
Yeah, the better money for reruns came even after MASH was said and done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question about it.
But you, here's my theory on that. You get to make that up in volume. because they show it every half hour.
Let me tell you something. If that was the only thing in somebody's career, that wouldn't be bad. That's not a bad barometer to hold up. That's quite a good show. I'm very proud to have been on it.
You can live with that. Well, Jamie, you just sound great, and you're having fun and doing a good job as a game show host, I think.
Yes, it is. I've enjoyed it. The audience has accepted me. We have a lot of fun, and what's so nice about it is that the audience participates. They don't just sit there and do nothing. They get up, and they're the stars of the show. So we have a lot of fun, a little byplay with all of them.
Yeah, people like that. Now, what's the info again? How does somebody find out more about this?
Well, they can call that 1-800 number if they're coming to Las Vegas within the next month or so, and they'll get two tickets for the price of one. So let me repeat that for
you.
Please do. It's 1-800-222-5361. and that'll get them to the Las Vegas Hilton's box office. And if they're on that stage, that's where Elvis Presley was. That's where Barry Manilow performs. That's where Tony Bennett stands. So it's a lot of fun to say, hey, I stood on that stage and played a game and had some fun. You win some money. Everybody that steps on that stage wins something. So you either get a consolation prize or you win dollars.
And you enjoy the time you spend in Las Vegas?
I pretty much go in and do the show and then turn around and come back.
And go
it's
home.
A short hop. Yeah, it's about 45 minutes to the Burbank Bob Hope Airport. So.
Right.
That's what I do. We have our first grandchild, and I want to spend some time with him. I didn't, because I was working in my earlier years of career when we had our children, I didn't spend that much time with the children. So I like to spend a little more time with our grandchild.
Well, congratulations on that. Is there anything about Jamie Farr that we don't know that might surprise us?
Yes, the Chrysler Company, which you like, that Sebring that you talked about.
Sure.
They furnish us with our cars for my golf tournament in Toledo, Ohio. My Jamie Farr Owens Corning Classic presented by Kroger. It's my 24th year with the LPGA, and they supply all the cars for us. We appreciate that.
That's great. I forgot you had the golf tournament, and I forgot that you were affiliated with the Ladies Professional Golf Association, which is another nod to your character on MASH.
That's right. And the other thing you probably didn't know is that all the Jeeps are made in Toledo, Ohio, my hometown.
American-made, my friend.
That's right.
That's it. Well, Jamie, you're just delightful, and like I said, America loves you, and we appreciate everything you did and everything you're doing, and it's good to hear you sounding so good and so energetic and having a great time.
Well, thank you. I wish you you and your families a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you for allowing me to promote the game show. And I think, again, that should be a very exciting. That's almost like a precursor to the Super Bowl coming up this weekend, I think, with the Pats and the Colts.
That's great. And you've got the holiday movie coming up on the Hallmark channel?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's your typical Hallmark movie at Christmas time. It'll give you a tug in the heart and make you cry a little bit. And as I said, Ernest Borgnine is an absolute delight. What a career that man has had.
I got to tune in just to see that. Anything else that you're,
no,
you weren't
promoting? That's it.
Good for now, I would say.
Let's see. Right now it's about It's about 2 something in the afternoon. The golf course is still open, I'm going to head out there in my shorts and sunny day.
Well, I'd pay to see that. Jamie, you've been great. Thank you very much for your time. We wish you the best of luck, and we urge everybody to go see you out in Vegas and to watch for you on the Hallmark Channel next month.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Take care. Jamie Farr, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Jamie Farr on the Don and Mike Show. It's Don and Mike have, in case you didn't notice, they're not here because they've done that thing again where they get up and leave. And here's how it went down. It was actually sort of engaging because all of a sudden, Rob was working in the producer's room and presumably setting up this interview. And all of a sudden, Don got this look on his face as if something horrible had happened. And he took off his headphones and went charging out the door. It was some of the best acting I've seen on his part, I realize now. And shortly after that, Mike began to look concerned after he asked that initial early question. And then he took off his headphones and went dashing out the door. I glanced over my shoulder, and of course, Rob was gone. So it's just been me and Jamie Farr for what, the last, 3-4 hours now, it seems like he and I were chatting. But he was a great guy, and I'm glad he could join us. And I know that because we have bills to pay and commercials to play, and because I can't reach any of the buttons from where I am, they're going to have to come back in here eventually. And I think, don't you think, I did a pretty good job of stretching that interview out for just milking it for everything it was worth? I think I asked Jamie Farr every conceivable question a person would care to ask him. And I think as a reward for my good work, I think Don and Mike should get their asses back in the studio. That's what I think, because I think I've handled this pretty well. And now, once again, I'm in that position where I have no buttons I can push, no telephones I can answer, so I can't talk to people. I have no one around me to interact with. I could start reading the news, but then what the hell do we do at 6? So I'm hoping that in the desperate need to play commercials, perhaps some intervention will occur here, that somebody will come running back into the studio and rescue not only myself, but you, the listener, as well. Because, frankly, now that Jamie Farr is gone, it's just me. And again, if I'd known you were coming, I would have baked a cake. But I didn't know we were going to be in this position again today, so I had nothing special prepared for you. As I mentioned earlier, the writer's strike for television and movies appears to be on. We were saying yesterday that we might even notice it toward the end of this week. Now it appears that although some of the actors have, or some of the writers have walked off their jobs already, that for the most part, the rest of the union members are leaving on Monday. And that's when you'll begin to see nothing but reruns on Letterman and Leno and The Daily Show and The Colbert Report and Conan O'Brien and all those kinds of shows. You probably won't see any effect from the strike on other shows for a little while, except the networks will start padding. They'll start coming up with news specials to sort of stretch out the season and make the existing television shows they have in the can, as they say, make them last a little bit longer. And, boy, with that, I'm just about toast here, fellas. I'd really appreciate it if you'd come rescue me now, again, as a reward for my good work. Because, really, I think, considering no preparation, no warning, I thought I just covered just about everything you could with Jamie Farr. I don't know that any other human being could have squeezed as much out of Jamie Farr as I did. And he was very generous and kind to stay on the phone for as long as he did. But we couldn't keep the man from his golf game any longer. As you know, he has a passion for golf and short pants. Well, there we are. It's a lovely, chilly day in Washington, D.C., if anybody outside of Washington, D.C. cares about that. Autumn has finally come after a great delay, and it's very crisp and blustery. And even though the sun is shining, you can tell that winter's definitely on its way. And usually, when a guy starts talking about weather, you know he's reached the bottom. So that's why I'm more than happy to see a Don, Mike, and Rob.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That was not funny.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Bottom buddies, Don and Mike.
Ah, biggest weekend of the year thus far, football. We were talking about the Colts and the Patriots.
It's one of the biggest regular season games in the last 10 years.
Normally on our Pick the Pros into the Scab and Lead segment, we'd have JB, or we had Nancy on already this week.
That's right.
This week, we are going in the Wayback Machine to a guy we wanted to have on the show for a long time, and a guy who's a big football fan.
Right.
Come in, Jamie Farr. Hello, Jamie.
Yes, hello. Is that Don and Mike?
Yeah, yes. Jamie Farr. How are you?
I've been listening to your program on the internet, and I feel very much the way Don does. I like the Colts. But I think the Patriots are going
to
win.
Well, let's welcome Jamie Farr to the show. I want to mention for everybody listening to us in Las Vegas, the $250,000 game show Spectacular with host Bob Eubanks, Chuck Woolery, and Jamie Farr is now playing at the Vegas Hilton Theater. Showtimes 1:30 and 3:30.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. We've been doing it now for the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've had nice crowds. Bob Eubanks has Mondays and Tuesdays. Chuck has Wednesdays and Thursdays. I have Friday, and always on Saturday. And if any of your listeners are coming to Las Vegas, I got a nice deal for them. They can call a 1-800 number and get two tickets for the price of one. The 800 number is 222-5361.
How long do you see yourself doing the show?
Our contract is until the end of December, and if it does well, they'll continue with it. We play about 4 or 5 different games. We play a little bit of Card Sharks, The Gong Show, Name That Tune, the Newlywed Game. We got some stunts in it, and everybody in the audience that has a valid ticket has an opportunity at the end of the show to come up and try to win $250,000. And if that happens, everybody in the audience that has a ticket, a valid ticket, wins $100.
Well, Jamie, you've been a game show contestant. How did you find yourself in the role of hosting a game show?
Well, I've been doing game shows for the last 30 years, as you said, as a panelist and is a celebrity contested. And I've been asked numerous times by either Merrill Heater and Quigley and Mark Goodson to host game shows, but I never wanted to do it because as an actor, I felt that it would hurt you. There are only a few actors that have made the transition where they could do a game show and then still act. Bert Convy was one, and Larry Blyden was another. So I just didn't want to do it. And although I've done some pilots, I did something for Dick Clark, and I've also substituted for some of the other game show hosts when they were ill on their games, I just never wanted to do it. But Bob came to me, Eubanks did, and he said, hey, Jamie, this is in-house. It's not going to be televised. So would you like to be a part of it? And I said, yeah. So there I am.
You're still open to an acting gig if one comes along?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to a screening tomorrow. I did a Christmas movie for the Hallmark Channel with Ernest Borgnine, who is 90 years old.
Wow.
Catherine Hellman, Richard Libertini, and Tracy Nelson. And it'll be on the month of Christmas, the month of December, on the Hallmark Channel. It's called Grandpa for Christmas. And Ernie is just absolutely wonderful in it. And he is so facile. He not only knew his own lines, he knew your lines.
So he's still getting it done.
Oh, yeah. Ernie's a wonderful man. And we had great stories to exchange because my first movie was Blackboard Jungle with Glenn Ford and Sidney Poitier, which brought Rock Around the Clock, Bill Haley and the Comets. And then Ernie also did the Wild Bunch with Bill Holden, and I had done the first miniseries with Bill called The Blue Knight, which Bill won an Emmy for. So we had great stories to exchange about William Holden and Glenn Ford.
You've been doing this for a while, too, actually long before you became best known for your role on TV's MASH.
Oh, yeah. This is my 54th year I'm celebrating.
Wow, that's
and
cool.
I tell you the truth, I'm a blessed guy. It's been amazing. I've had a very career. I've directed, I've written, I've produced, I've acted, I've done live television in the early days with Red Skelton carrying half of his show, did some of the early Playhouse 90 kind of shows and that, and I worked with Lucille Ball, Bob Hope, Andy Griffith, Dick Van Dyke, Red Skelton, as I said, Danny Kaye. So it's been just fantastic. Directors like Richard Brooks and George Stevens. It's been an absolutely sensational career.
You've worked with them all. Now, obviously, MASH, more of a blessing than a curse, but was your role on the TV show MASH kind of an albatross for you in terms of acting immediately after that show?
You know, I got lucky. We did a show called After MASH for 2 years, and that wasn't very successful. But it was a little quiet. But I started in the theater, so I went to Broadway. I was in your city. I took over for Nathan Lane in Guys and Dolls about 13 years ago, doing Nathan Detroit, and then I did road companies of shows. Last year, I did the one man show. Say Goodnight Gracie, George Burns, Frank Gorshin had done it at the Helen Hayes Theater in New York, and I took it across the country on tour. I've done so many other things, movies of the week, all the Cannonball Run movies, all the movies that I've done for television. So it does a little bit, but at the same time, I think more than anything that hurts you is when you get a little older, your age is against you because it's pretty much of a youth market in television and movies today.
You sound great. You sound energetic. You feel good.
Oh, I feel sensational. It's just absolutely wonderful. I was telling your producer we had a scare a couple weeks ago with those fires. They got kind of close, and we thought we were going to have to evacuate, but we were safe. And those firemen, I know your city owes a great deal to the firemen in New York City, and
absolutely,
of course our firemen here in L.A. They're next to saints. They really stand there and put their lives on the line to protect your home and property. They're just the most wonderful people in the world.
America's bravest. You say that the fires actually did get close to you and your family?
This time it didn't. Earlier one a couple years ago, it came right to the back of our house, and they stayed here, and they were vigilant and kept the fire away. My son was in Santa Clarita, he and his wife and our grandson, and they were going to have to evacuate. That's the one that was near Magic Mountain.
Ah.
So we're not too far from Malibu, so we were going to be caught in the middle. The Malibu was heading north, and the other fire was heading south, so we were in the middle of it.
You were surrounded. Now, on this Vegas game show, this is sort of a live performance of a game show.
It is.
Whose idea was that? How did a non-televised game show come to be?
Well, the Bally's Hotel has been doing The Price is Right for, I think, about a year.
Uh-huh.
and it's been very successful as an afternoon show. But the problem with Price is Right, if you've seen the show, it's rather limited in terms of winners and participation with the audience. So Bob Eubanks and his producers said, hey, why don't we put in a game show where you can have 50 winners and get up there and let the audience be the participants, let them be the stars of the show. So they took it to the Hilton. They said, hey, we like this idea. So they're trying it out, and thus far it's been pretty good. We've had some nice crowds. The audience just loves it. We have some kind of stunt participation, truth or consequence kind of things where we surprise the audience a little bit. We picked the audience through their ticket stubs and then randomly, like for the newlywed game and things like that. And the audience loves it. They play card sharks and, of course, the Gong Show, my old... That show, I got to tell you, doing that when we were doing it for real was quite an adventure with Chuck Barris and J.P. Morgan.
Now, we've had Chuck Barris on the show or not, and you've heard about, you've probably seen his movie or
you
read
mean
his
the CIA
book.
Thing,
exactly. Yeah. I got to ask you, what do you think?
I don't think so.
You don't think he was a CIA spy?
George Clooney's production is company is named after me. Next time you see one of his movies, you'll see it's produced by Section 8.
That's right. I've noticed that, as a matter of fact.
He named it after me. I did a movie of the week with George quite a few years ago with Bob Culp. And he was telling me that if he ever, got into the producing end, he was going to name it Section 8.
Well, Section 8, an old military term, but one that became closely associated with you. I had no idea Clooney named his production company in honor of you and your character.
Yeah, that's it. That's trying to get out of the Army by claiming you're crazy. So
now, that's the role you became most beloved for, and you're aware, Jamie, of just how beloved and strongly remembered you still are to this day, even though TV's MASH has been off the air for how long now? Quite a while.
It hasn't been off the air. It's been out of production.
Well, yeah, that's true. It never goes off the air.
No, I tell you, it's played every half hour someplace in the world. I know Hallmark Channel at times probably plays it 8 times in a day. TV Land has it, and then it's in syndication all around the country. So it's a blessing. Let me tell you, when those quiet moments when the phone isn't ringing, it's a lot of fun to go down to the mailbox. And usually, if I got a nice big check in there, my wife comes back and says, "Hey, we're buddies."
Now, do you keep in touch with any of the old cast members?
Yeah, matter of fact, Loretta just called. Loretta's birthday is coming up in the next day or two, and she's going to have a party, I think, Sunday night. So she said, "Harry Morgan is 93, and it's kind of a little tough for him to get around. He's got a walker." And Mike Farrell and Shelley Fabre will probably be there.
Wow.
I heard from Alan. You know, he has a new book out, and he sent us a copy, and I told him how much I enjoyed the book. But, yes, we all get together. The nice thing about it is that we talk about our grandchildren now. It's so exciting.
And Radar, Gary Berghoff.
Gary lives in Northern California. Right. We don't hear from Gary that much. Gary does not fly. He has a camper, which he travels around. And he's quite an artist. He does wildlife, Audubon kind of things with watercolors.
Ah.
And he's excellent. He has a lot of exhibitions around the United States.
So he's kind of the John Madden of painters, then.
Exactly.
Doesn't like to fly. And speaking of John Madden, we understand you're a huge football fan as well.
Well, yes. I love the game. I've always enjoyed it. I can't believe what the Patriots are doing. As soon as they got Randy Moss, that turned them into some kind of a machine.
You don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
What are your other picks for football this weekend?
Well, I think Brett Favre is unbelievable.
Sure.
I saw that game the last week, and at 38 years old, the guy is just remarkable. I think he's. I think the Packers will beat the Chiefs. I think the Redskins will beat your Jets. I think that Joe Gibbs. Yeah, I think after that humiliation last week, that they want to prove something. So I think the Jets might be their raw meat that they're going to go after. I think the Cowboys will beat the Eagles.
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty simple one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. That's a safe bet.
What's a tough one to call? You know what? I'm going to go with my Detroit Lions against the Broncos, even though the Broncos played so well last week.
Well, there it is. Jamie Farr picks the pros for this weekend's football game. Jamie, are you following the writer's strike, the progression of that?
Yeah, I heard that they're on strike today. So far, our Screen Actors Guild they're in sympathy with them, but they're not striking. Is that going to affect you guys at all?
I don't think so. No, those of us in AFTRA, the American Federation of Television Radio Artists, it's now combined with SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, and I understand that SAG members are going to walk the picket lines with the writers, but they're also going to cross them and continue to work during at least the initial stages
of the strike. Yeah, well, I guess SAG's got one coming up, and so does AFTRA, I think very soon. So. Yeah, a couple of years ago, I walked the picket line when SAG went out doing that. It's kind of funny to see all these famous faces with pickets in front of the studios where you're hoping, please, God, give me another series.
Well, it looks like it is official. Just checking the wire, Jamie, they have voted to go ahead with the strike on November 5th, which is Monday. So the strike is on as of this weekend. And I'm going to guess that you naturally side with the artist in a situation like this.
Oh, of course. I always do. Thank goodness for residuals. Unfortunately, you take a show like Gilligan's Island, Bob Denver's no longer with us. But the poor guy did that for like 2 years.
Yep.
He hardly made any money off of that, and he was stigmatized with being Gilligan. He couldn't get really a job anyplace in town after that, and he didn't get any residuals.
Yeah, back then they were paying nothing for reruns, nothing compared to what they pay today.
Yeah, well, my reruns, I mean, listen, we've been off the air for, 25 years out of production.
Right.
And can you imagine what these people are getting today? When you think about it, Alan Alda in his final season was getting... And he was the kingpin. He was getting $100,000 an episode. These kids today, they get some of them getting $1 million an episode.
Exactly.
$700,000 an episode. And so it's just remarkable. It's just like the athletes. I mean, Joe DiMaggio's best year was $100,000.
Right.
So you can imagine what they're making today. I was just a little late in being on a hit TV series.
Yeah, the better money for reruns came even after MASH was said and done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question about it.
But here's my theory on that. You get to make that up in volume. because they show it every half hour.
Let me tell you something. If that was the only thing in somebody's career, that wouldn't be bad. That's not a bad barometer to hold up. That's quite a good show. I'm very proud to have been on it.
You can live with that. Well, Jamie, you just sound great, and you're having fun and doing a good job as a game show host, I think.
Yes, it is. I've enjoyed it. The audience has accepted me. We have a lot of fun, and what's so nice about it is that the audience participates. They don't just sit there and do nothing. They get up, and they're the stars of the show. So we have a lot of fun, a little byplay with all of them.
Yeah, people like that. Now, what's the info again? How does somebody find out more about this?
Well, you can. They can call that 1-800 number if they're coming to Las Vegas within the next month or so, and they'll get two tickets for the price of one. So let me repeat that for
you. Please do.
It's 1-800-222-5361, and that'll get them to the Las Vegas Hilton's box office. And if they're on that stage, that's where Elvis Presley was. That's where Barry Manilow performs. That's where Tony Bennett stands. So it's a lot of fun to say, hey, I stood on that stage and played a game and had some fun. You win some money. Everybody that steps on that stage wins something. So you either get a consolation prize or you win dollars.
And you enjoy the time you spend in Las Vegas?
I pretty much go in and do the show and then turn around and come back.
And go
it's
home.
A short hop. Yeah, it's about 45 minutes to the Burbank Bob Hope Airport.
All
so.
Right.
That's what I do. We have our first grandchild, and I want to spend some time with him. I didn't, because I was working in my earlier years of career when we had our children, I didn't spend that much time with the children. So I like to spend a little more time with our grandchild.
Well, congratulations on that. Is there anything about Jamie Farr that we don't know that might surprise us?
Yes, the Chrysler Company, which you like that Sebring that you talked about.
Sure.
They furnish us with our cars for my golf tournament in Toledo, Ohio.
Ah.
My Jamie Farr Owens Corning Classic presented by Kroger. It's my 24th year with the LPGA. And they supply all the cars for us. We appreciate that.
That's great. I forgot you had the golf tournament, and I forgot that you were affiliated with the Ladies Professional Golf Association, which is another nod to your character on MASH.
That's right. And the other thing you probably didn't know is all the Jeeps – are made in Toledo, Ohio, my hometown.
American made, my friend.
That's right.
That's it. Well, Jamie, you're just delightful. And like I said, America loves you. And we appreciate everything you did and everything you're doing. And it's good to hear you sounding so good and so energetic and having a great time.
Well, thank you. I wish you you and your families a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you for allowing me to promote the game show. And I think, again, that should be a very exciting. It's almost like a precursor to the Super Bowl coming up this this weekend, I think, with the Pats and the Colts.
That's great. And you've got the holiday movie coming up on the Hallmark
Channel?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's your typical Hallmark movie at Christmas time. It'll give you a tug in the heart and make you cry a little bit. And as I said, Ernest Borgnine is an absolute delight. What a career that man has had.
I got to tune in just to see that. Anything else that
that's it.
That's pretty good for now, I would say.
Let's see. Right now it's about It's about 2 something in the afternoon. The golf course is still open, so I'm going to head out there in my shorts and sunny day.
Well, I'd pay to see that. Jamie, you've been great. Thank you very much for your time. We wish you the best of luck, and we urge everybody to go see you out in Vegas and to watch for you on the Hallmark Channel next month.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Take care. Jamie Farr, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Jamie Farr on the Don and Mike show. It's Don and Mike have, in case you didn't notice, they're not here because they've done that thing again where they get up and leave. And here's how it went down. It was actually sort of engaging because all of a sudden, Rob was working in the producer's room and presumably setting up this interview. And all of a sudden, Don got this look on his face as if something horrible had happened. And he took off his headphones and went charging out the door. It was some of the best acting I've seen on his part, I realize now. And shortly after that, Mike began to look concerned after he asked that initial early question. And then he took off his headphones and went dashing out the door. I glanced over my shoulder, and of course, Rob was gone. So it's just been me and Jamie Farr for what, the last, 3-4 hours now, it seems like he and I were chatting. But he was a great guy, and I'm glad he could join us. And I know that because we have bills to pay and commercials to play and because I can't reach any of the buttons from where I am, they're going to have to come back in here eventually. And I think, don't you think, I did a pretty good job of stretching that interview out for just milking it for everything it was worth? I think I asked Jamie Farr every conceivable question a person would care to ask him. And I think as a reward for my good work, I think Don and Mike should get their asses back in the studio. That's what I think, because I think I've handled this pretty well. And now, once again, I'm in that position where I have no buttons I can push, no telephones I can answer, so I can't talk to people. I have no one around me to interact with. I could start reading the news, but then what the hell do we do at 6? So I'm hoping that in the desperate need to play commercials, perhaps some intervention will occur here, that somebody will come running back into the studio and rescue not only myself, but you, the listener, as well. Because, frankly, now that Jamie Farr is gone, it's just me. And, again, if I'd known you were coming, I would have baked a cake. But I didn't know we were going to be in this position again today, so I had nothing special prepared for you. As I mentioned earlier, the writer strike for television and movies appears to be on. We were saying yesterday that we might even notice it toward the end of this week. Now it appears that although some of the actors some of the writers have walked off their jobs already, that for the most part, the rest of the union members are leaving on Monday. And that's when you'll begin to see nothing but reruns on Letterman and Leno and The Daily Show and The Colbert Report and Conan O'Brien and all those kinds of shows. You probably won't see any effect from the strike on other shows for a little while, except the networks will start padding. They'll start coming up with news specials to sort of stretch out the season and make the existing television shows they have in the can, as they say, make them last a little bit longer. And, boy, with that, I'm just about toast here, fellas. I'd really appreciate it if you'd come rescue me now, again, as a reward for my good work. Because, really, I think, considering no preparation, no warning, I thought I just covered just about everything you could with Jamie Farr. I don't know that any other human being could have squeezed as much out of Jamie Farr as I did. And he was very generous and kind to stay on the phone for as long as he did. But we couldn't keep the man from his golf game any longer. As you know, he has a passion for golf and short pants. Well, there we are. It's a lovely, chilly day in Washington, D.C., if anybody outside of Washington, D.C. cares about that. Autumn has finally come after a great delay, and it's very crisp and blustery. And even though the sun is shining, you can tell that winter's definitely on its way. And usually when a guy starts talking about weather, you know he's reached the bottom. So that's why I'm more than happy to see a Don, Mike, and Rock.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Looks like baby vomit.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Monday
on a Monday.
Wrong.
Tuesday, I'm fading.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Nope.
Wednesday, I can't sleep.
Wednesday, too.
The die is Wednesday.
No.
Nope.
Thursday in the afternoon.
Thursday, I don't care about you.
Well, come again next Thursday afternoon.
Nope.
Thank God it's
Friday. Oh, Friday.
It's Aloha Friday.
Friday never has its end.
Friday night.
It's Friday night.
Friday night. Friday, I'm in love.
Friday night, it was late.
When Black Friday come
in the evening on a Friday night.
Get a check on Friday.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do we have one for the weekend?
We do. Hey,
yeah. From America,
oh, no. From America, no, that's not right. I'm sorry. Now look at him get to the microphone.
Before it gets too
gleefully,
late.
Gleefully jumping up to the microphone.
White power!
For America. White power.
Don't sing
America.
Along with it, damn it.
White power.
White power!
For America. Before it gets too late.
Somebody's starting the weekend early.
Are they strong? Listen, bud. They've got radioactive blood. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Why, you mother-grabbing Beth?
All right, we're ready to laugh.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Let's remember the rules on Make Us Laugh.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
That's fair.
And I don't.
I try to get myself into a state of mind.
Not so to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
You're playing these tapes, and it's not putting me in the right frame
Thank
of mind.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
Well, what have we here?
It's my thing, Charlie. Wow. There I am.
Why?
Yeah.
Let it up, Robbie.
All right. Oh, sorry.
You almost put your white power music back in.
Yeah, I know. That would have been a mistake.
White power.
As he scours over the sound effects with his Vienna sausages.
10 minutes. Oh, the big clock of fun.
I feel lucky today.
Remember, you can't spell fun without F-U. Phone number 877-365-3636. These are unscreened calls.
I am now once again in a zen-like state.
If you make us laugh, me and Mike, today the prize is 500 bones.
Usually good timing on a Friday.
Let's get to it. In honor of Jamie Farr.
I mean, amen. He'd want it that way.
We'll dedicate this to Jamie Farr.
And the people of Toledo.
And the late Bob Goulet, who really was a friend of ours.
He was.
In a way. Bob we had him on the Goulet. Show a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. What's up? Make us laugh.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes, make us laugh, please.
Hey, what type of deodorant does Larry King wear?
What kind?
Sure, boy.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Clever more than funny.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah. Let's start.
Sure, boy.
Sure. Sure,
boy. 9 3/4 minutes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make us laugh.
What does it sound like when a bomb goes off in East Baltimore?
What?
Boom!
I heard on the news that you guys hear about the Domino Sugar Plant in Baltimore?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was tragic.
They had some kind of problem there, Mike.
There was all sorts of stuff going on. They used a lot of chemicals when they're making that sugar.
Sure hope Cal's okay.
I hope he wasn't anywhere near the Bromo Seltzer Tower.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Make us laugh. Hey, Baltimore, ain't it about time for you to preempt our show? Isn't there some water boy with the Ravens that's got a show right now?
Very exciting, Baltimore.
Hello.
Hello?
Make us laugh.
Cinderella's getting ready to go to the ball when her fairy godmother appears and said, Cinderella, you have to be back by midnight or your regime is going to turn into a pumpkin. Cinderella came back at 4 a.m. The fairy godmother said, what happened when did Prince Charming think when your vizine turned into a pumpkin? And Cinderella said, I didn't go with Prince Charming. I went with Peter Pumpkin Eater.
Why?
Hello. Charming. Don and Mike show.
That just set everybody back.
Yes, boys, yes.
That bitch!
Number 37 fan. Hey, with winter coming.
Oh, I thought that was your killer line.
I thought that was the line that he had saved up.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Make us laugh.
Sadie and Mabel are sitting on a park bench. Sadie says, oh, Mabel, you're not going to believe this. I saw your husband in the flower store, and he bought you the most beautiful bouquet of roses you've ever seen. And he said, you're just going to be so amazed when you see him. He was telling the florist how much he loved you and how he worshipped the ground you walked on. Mabel says, oh, great, now I'm going to...
Those pesky cell phones.
Isn't that just a shame?
Sorry we couldn't get that rich punchline.
Hi there, Don and Mike show. Make us laugh.
Hey, Don and Mike, what do you call a Mexican girl with no legs?
What?
Consuelo.
Old.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello, make us laugh.
Don and Mike, got three questions for you.
Yeah.
All right, you take a pair of nuts, you stick them to the wall, what do you get?
You take a pair of nuts and
stick them to the wall. I don't know, what do you get?
You got walnuts.
Okay.
Yep. You take those same pair of nuts, stick them to your chest. What do you got?
Okay, chestnuts.
Okay. You take those...
We can't say that.
We didn't laugh.
No.
That guy said you got a D in your mouth.
Kind of see it coming, don't you? You kind of see that coming along.
I thought that was going to be a balls on chin thing.
Yeah, I was disappointed.
Hi there, Don and Mike show. Make us laugh.
I have blood in my number three. Mommy booby.
Almost got
you. Yeah, a little bit. A little smile, but, you know, just... They're wearing us down now.
Don and Mike show, hello.
Yeah, what did Crystal McCullough's husband say when they brought back the remains?
What?
Fish wouldn't eat either.
There's another one of those wonderful cell phones dropping out.
Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Make us laugh.
Hey, my neighbor, she's really blonde. She was out weed whacking the other day.
Let me just say for the record. You're always guaranteed to win with a dead astronaut joke or a blonde joke.
Absolutely.
Let's try this one. Hi, Don and Mike show. Make us laugh. What was that?
I say, but they didn't win.
Hello. Make us laugh.
No help.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
So, I was wondering, what is 6 foot tall... has a chilly mustache and shot Elaine Bryant.
Would you repeat that, please?
Again.
Okay. What is 6 foot tall, has a chilly mustache, and shops at Lane Bryant?
Why is Buzz laughing like crazy at this?
I just think he has a funny story. Has an interesting... could we hear it a third time, please?
Sure. What is 6 foot tall, has a chilly mustache, and shops at Lane Bryant.
Did you say has a chewy mustache?
Cherry mustache?
A chilly mustache.
Chewy mustache.
A chewy mustache and shops at Lane Bryant.
No idea what.
It's Dolores, the she-bear with a heart of gold.
Oh.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I can't even articulate my disappointment.
All losers on Make Us Laugh will be immediately shipped to Iraq to be human shields.
Fair enough.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, Make Us Laugh, please.
What do whores, faggots, and all NASCAR fans have in common?
What?
They are all infatuated with number three.
Hello.
5 minutes!
We're at the halfway mark.
Only halfway through. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, they just put a new women's shelter in the town that I live in. It's called the Tempura Shelter. It's for lightly battered women.
That's some comedian had that joke. You stole that from someone from Carlos Mencina or someone like that.
Really?
I mean, it wasn't him, but yeah, that's an old one.
Lightly battered. Hadn't heard it. That's why I kind of cracked a grin there.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Make us laugh.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
White guy and a black guy get in an elevator. White guy looks up at the black guy. Black guy looks down and says, 6'8", 390, 12 inches. Tyrone Brown. Little white guy passes out, hits the floor. Wakes up, black guy's looking at him. White guy says, what did you say to me? He said, I saw you looking at me, so I was going to answer your questions. I'm 6'8", I weigh 390, I got 12 inches, and my name's Tyrone Brown. He said, oh, man, I thought you said turn around.
4 minutes!
Hello.
Oh, my.
Let's all think how precious life is.
That's good. That's a deep thought in the middle of Make Us Laugh.
And let's all stop and think. even as bad as this is, it's better than when Buzz was interviewing Jamie Farr. I kid because I love Buzz.
I understand.
We played a bad trick on Buzz today.
It was Buzz ditching. It's like porch setting, only a different thing. And Buzz was caught by surprise.
We left Buzz out to hang with Jamie Farr, who, thankfully for Buzz, has diarrhea of the mouth.
I believe you could have asked Jamie Farr what time it is, and he would have given you a 20-minute answer.
He would have probably told you about every booger that's ever been in his big, gigantic nose.
I wish I'd thought of those.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes.
You didn't make any nose jokes or anything. You didn't make any.
Cigar and goes vroom, vroom, vroom.
Wait, start again, please,
sir. It's something about me, of course. Me on a scooter, right?
It's Nancy Boy Don riding his scooter in Ocean City.
Yeah. Oh, I love the fake laugh at the end of it.
Hi there.
That really helped it.
What, Robbie?
3 minutes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make us laugh.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Number one fan here. Just calling to say, great job on ditching Buzz today. I loved it.
Again, appreciate the effort, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you doing?
Very well. How you doing?
You're wasting your valuable time.
What if 50,000 legs and one tooth?
A Willie Nelson concert?
Front row.
Sacramento.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Make us laugh.
What do you call Tom Gavin fighting a fire?
What?
A fire retardant.
Hey, no.
No. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
No. That was almost David Hasselhoff.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make us laugh.
Hey, what's the difference between a blonde-haired Grant Napier and a refrigerator?
What?
A refrigerator doesn't fart when you take the meat out.
Almost tranquilizing, isn't it?
Yes, hello. What was that?
2 minutes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's the difference between a circus and a sorority?
What is the difference between a circus and a sorority?
A circus is a cunning array of stunts.
That's super. Sorry you couldn't get your words out. You're just a cunning runt. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how's it going? Is this Don and Mike?
Yeah. Da, da, da.
Now you guys, stop it.
Yeah. Da, da, da.
We never entertained during
da,
Mike's
da, 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 da. What?
Hey. I got one for you.
Yeah, not a chance.
I forgot this is Friday.
Not a chance you're going to win, you douchebag.
I foolishly thought that Friday would be the good time. Of course not. It's Friday right up against the evening. No. All right, give it a try.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm not trying to make light of a horrible situation. I live in Alameda. I commute to and from Sacramento every day.
Listen, you're going to make a joke about the fires. Go ahead.
Poor girl was murdered. It was the first murder of the year in Alameda.
Oh, hold on. It's a joke about a murder, not about the fires.
I'm watching the news with my wife, and I'm telling you right now, our sketch artist drew a picture of what looked like a combination of Charlie Brown and Avatar. And I'm looking at it, and I said, that's a testament to our town. We have so little crime that's the sketch artist that we hire. I mean, we must pay this guy like minimum wage. Now, if you look
is this
at, you look
the funny
online,
story?
I only hope the
where's
guy,
where's the funny?
The guy that killed the little girl. I hope he kills you next.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Safe
Show.
Home.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, yeah, Don and Mike.
Make us laugh, please.
Yeah. God said to Adam, I'm going to make someone for you that'll cook for you, clean for you, do everything you ever wanted. Adam said to God, sounds like that'll cost a lot. That'll cost an arm and a leg. What can I get for a rib?
Oh. Now, because we did have the one storyteller, this is not part of the bonus betting. We're just going to take an extra
this
one.
This is the
here.
Last official Make Us Laugh call.
This really was like the perfect storm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, Make Us Laugh.
This is Milk in New York City, fresher than your mama's.
Hold
New
on,
York
I
city.
Didn't hear the first part.
Start again, please.
Mumbles.
Okay, well, just because city rhymes with a word for breast, you can't say it.
Mm-hmm. That was terrible.
Milk from New York City doesn't taste like your mama's.
Yeah. Freshest milk in New York City. Fresher than your mama's. Right.
All right, so we're playing for $500.
Yes. Right.
Now we double the jackpot and play for $1,000.
That money is safe. Or is it?
You never know, Mike.
That's right, you never know.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make us laugh for $1,000.
What's 150 years old, been deserted for 50 years, and is full of dust and tumbleweeds?
What's that?
B. Arthur's underwear.
Oh, we're in dangerous territory. Don is going to up the ante.
We're
going to
double again and go to $1,000. Or did we already?
$2,000.
$2,000.
Oh my God! $2,000.
This will do it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make us laugh for $2,000. No kidding.
All right, Don and Mike. This is right up Mike's alley. What's the best thing about having sex with 29-year-olds?
What?
There's 20 of them.
Am I wrong when I say we get that every other time
every
we do
time.
Make
hey,
us
Mike,
laugh?
Hey, Mike, but that's right up your alley.
Yeah, that's right up my alley. One for you.
The next call, if the person makes us laugh, will win $4,000.
Serious money.
I ask you not. Wait for it. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make us laugh for $4,000.
Yeah, I came home from work the other day, and my 4-year-old son asked if he could take a shower with me. I said, okay. We're in the shower. He looks up and says, Dad, why is your pee-pee so much different?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah. Does that mean we get to get one more?
You know, I don't know about that. Yeah, I never understand the rules about what you can
and
can't.
Yeah, because it's describing. It's very graphic. It's describing that.
Well, then that $4,000 is still in play. Mm-hmm.
Still in play.
The last guy had to be deleted out because he used a bad word for a boner.
You are a riverboat gambler.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make us laugh for $4,000.
Oh, yes. I am so ready for you. Are you ready?
Yes, honey.
I'm working at a vet, okay? This lady comes in. She's distraught. She cannot get over the fact that her dog's got an ear infection. I say, well, have you tried, you know, the pills, putting peanut butter on it? She looks at me really strange. Have you tried putting bologna on it or something? She looks at me real strange again, and then she says, well, it's not that. It's just that I can't get him to lift his tail up whenever I do it.
That bitch! All right.
What?
Listen.
What?
Daddy big time here.
Oh, my God.
You can't do this.
This is incredible.
$8,000.
Behind door number three.
Okay.
Really? I am not kidding you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make us laugh for $8,000.
Don and Mike.
Money safe.
Winner.
Make us laugh.
Did you hear my grandfather died in Auschwitz? Yeah, he fell off the guard tower.
Yeah, you know what? And today I'm with you. I'm with you.
You guys.
I'm going to double it up, Mike.
Absolutely.
You're going to get us in trouble.
This is safe. This is a safe bet.
This is $16,000. Our asses will be in a sling if someone makes us laugh.
That's right.
But am I not mistaken? Am I telling the truth or not? If it's funny, we'll laugh.
Absolutely.
Swear to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. For $16,000, make us laugh.
I believe the biggest purse ever for make us laugh.
What does Snoop Dogg use in his laundry to make his whites whiter?
What?
Brioche!
Well, Mike, we went from 500.
Money was never in jeopardy.
To 1,000. 2,000 to 4,000. To 8,000. To $16,000.
Truly incredible. And, you know, the rules are, if it's funny, if one of those happens to sneak in. We have played Make Us Laugh when the last call of the segment, Rob is singing to this song. $16,000. That was exciting.
Sure was.
That was good fun.
Don and Mike Show, hello.
Is Tom. It's Don.
You just blew $32,000. Hey.
Happy Friday, everyone.
Hey, Dumas.
Are you there? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Come in, hon.
Hello.
All participants on Make Us Laugh get a complimentary lobotomy from the Spiewak Laboratories and a copy of Jamie's Farr's brand new book, I'm Talking and No One's Listening.
There you are. Where have you been?
Where have I been? My wife's calling me out of her phone, guys. I mean, I'm talking about the priorities here.
You just missed out on $32,000.
Because you were too stupid.
No, I'm not. I would give up $32,000 not to have my wife kick my ass when I got home for not answering the phone. You know, man, you're married. Oh, no, you're not. What's up, guys? Don and Mike?
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
I'm retarded.
Well, I mean, you're all over the place. What are you? Did you call us?
Ass Munch says what?
No.
Yeah, you did call us, you stain.
Butt Licker says what?
Yeah, I did. I'm talking to my wife. Hold on a minute, baby. I'm trying to win some money.
Jesus Christ. Window Licker says what?
I lick a few windows. What?
Well, hey, why the hostility? What's wrong with you?
I'm having a hard time.
It sounds right. Like yeah. It.
Come on. This one's on the house now. Can you make us laugh?
What is that sound you're making?
Right. What is that supposed to be? Simulated sex?
No, it's Hannibal Lecter, you know.
Like the Farva Beans thing?
Yeah.
Now, why the hell would you think that would make us laugh?
Well, if it's, is your money still safe, Don?
It's the worst. That is the worst Hannibal Lecter impression I have ever heard in my life.
Well, I'm not a good mimic. I'm sorry.
No, but you do have what? A radio.
Why am I still on the phone? Why are you toying with me, guys? Come on, help me out here. My wife's going to be calling.
Oh, this urgency that you have.
Hang up the phone, dummy. We didn't call you.
No. I mean,
you're not going to win anything, so you might as well hang up.
All right.
Man, go take care of your wife.
All right.
No.
All right.
Wait a minute.
Well, now he has discovered that he's on the radio.
Stay tuned for Tattletales coming up next on most of these CBS stations.
I'm turning it down. Give me a break.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
I know you are. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
I know your lead story has to be Jamie Farr.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
But, you got some other stuff, don't you, Buzz?
Yes, I do. News from Toledo.
We're going to go to the news.
Okay.
Hey, douchebag. Hey, Dumas.
Hey, come on, are you there?
Scrotum stain. Hello, Fecal. Freddy Fecal. Where's Bobby BM?
Yo, Zit.
Yeah.
Hey, same as
found the one that worked.
Found his
okay.
name.
Have a good weekend, Zit.
All right, man.
See you later.
Take care.
Bye,
man. Bye. Bye-bye. Are you our, I hope you are our number one fan.
I'm number two fan.
Number two fan. Okay.
Full of it.
All right.
It's a pleasure to have him back on our show. Please welcome Preston Kelly.
I thought we had the number one fan thing there, but never
Preston
mind.
Preston Kelly married to Travolta John.
Oh, tired me.
Yeah, make us laugh, tiring segment.
Will you entertain a question?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Stand by for Buzz, please. With the
this is the Don and Mike Show.
There it
goes. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show. Painful.
That's nice.
One. Two, one, two, three, four.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
It sure is.
Mike, before we get back to the show.
Yes.
With Buzz and news, every line is ringing. And I'm sure that these are all jokes.
Stragglers.
More jokes.
That are sure that they have the one.
Mm-hmm.
So, pardon me, Buzz.
No, we
can rejoin her in
we
a moment.
Check
just
these.
Get this out of the way. Uh-huh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Why are you calling, my friend?
Hey, I was laughing my ass off so bad when Buzz was at the end of that interview. I rear-ended this guy on 95. I pull over. He pulls over. This little dwarf gets out of the car. He looks up at me, and he says in his squeaky voice, "I'm not happy." I look down at him, straight-faced, and I said, "Well, what one are you then?"
Are you calling us for Make Us Laugh?
Yes, sir.
It's over.
There's always
we concluded it.
There's always one person that starts the conversation by saying, I'm sure I've got the one.
Yes, and he's doing the anecdotal style.
Is this that person? Hello, Don and Mike show.
What is with people's phones today?
Hi. Hi there.
Diesel Mojado.
Ugh.
God almighty.
I apologize. Let's go back and do it the other way. Let's turn time back.
Uh-huh.
What's that beep, beep, beeping?
The clock is failing. I'm trying to fix it. Sorry. Yeah. No, we need
this. He's so protective of
valuable tool.
So protective of his toys. All right, forget all of that just happened. No more straggler calls. Let's just go back in time.
Very good.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you got a quick joke for Don and Mike.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody always does. Everybody follows up with the ones that they're sure are going to win.
What's the difference between a Catholic priest and acne?
Heard it before.
Can't say it.
Can't say it on the air. Thank you for calling, Mr. DeMoss.
I'm sorry,
I understand your curiosity.
We do appreciate it.
We appreciate everybody's participation.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Didn't you hear the segment's over?
The segment is over. No more jokes.
Well, right. Why would you think there were more? We concluded and went to commercial.
Okay. Very well. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being passive about this.
Tomorrow, when you wake up, try paying attention all day.
Monday at this time, it'll be 5:25.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. That's right.
Or will it be 7:25?
No, it's fall back.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz.
It'll be 5:25.
You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Yeah, sure, boy. It's the Don and Mike Show, boy. Yeah, sure. It's Buzz.
It's all about the buzz.
Not going to do it. Not going to go back to those phones.
Good for you.
Very dangerous to go to those phones.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
How are you anyway?
I'm great.
Why do people insist on calling after the contest is over, though?
Because they're not paying attention.
And because they're convinced
that they have the one.
The joke. Yeah, and the fact that they have the one in their own mind means they're not going to pay attention to the fact that we ended the contest.
Right. Never tell your grown son who he can or cannot date. Turns out the son of TV bounty hunter Dwayne Chapman is the person who made the tape of his dad using the N-word. The son is also the person who sold that tape to the National Enquirer for a lot of money, according to the bounty hunter's lawyer.
Well, then, to the people, I've actually heard idiotic people defending Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Uh-huh, right.
And the only thing that they could possibly defend would they'd say, well, it was a private call.
Right.
Well, gee whiz, if the son sold the tape, that kind of throws that whole theory about rights being violated
and
right,
the
out, right
that
out
I,
the poop chute.
The people that I hear defending him are not even going near the pertinent fact of the matter that
right.
he was calling his son to say, break up with this girl because we will use this word around the office.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
Nobody seems to be talking about that. The fact that when he was saying, you know, we use that word around the office, I don't want somebody hearing it. You know, the bottom line that I've always said, hey, dude, if you're worried about that and you think that's going to bring your career down, don't use the word. It's not rocket science. You know, guilty of stupidity.
Think right. twice before you say that to your son named Puppy.
Puppy. Is that his name?
I think so. Puppy. The
Puppy? Oh, no. God.
That's
joke.
Just Rob standing
Jesus
at the
Jesus Christ, Rob. Not after Make Us Laugh.
Son's name's Tucker.
Oh, all right.
Tucker.
Puppy was funnier.
The elder Chapman, I don't know. The elder Chapman has apologized for using the word. The A&E Network has suspended production of the show on the same day that it was announced that Don Imus is returning to the radio. 24's...
What?
Yeah, December 3rd.
I'm really glad that... not that I'm coming back.
I'm not sure.
Let's have a discussion of that. I bet he stayed away from that subject.
I'm sure.
I don't know if I'll say it or not.
Bernard, I don't want to talk about that subject, no.
24 is Kiefer Sutherland.
They're going to make me work with a Negro.
No, I don't know. I don't understand.
I'm going to work with a black guy.
Hey, can I get my brother on the show? Yeah. I want to fly down to the ranch.
It's Tim Russert. Yeah.
I need my big 10-gallon hat and sunflower seeds. Ribbit.
Jack Bauer also feels betrayed. He's refusing to sign any more autographs for fans. Kiefer Sutherland blames fans for his having to spend this Christmas in jail.
Shut up!
It was a fan who took pictures of Sutherland stumbling out of his car, pictures the fan then posted on the internet.
Shut up, stupid.
Pictures that can be used as evidence against him. Sutherland was known for his generosity.
Jack Bauer.
Shut up. In the morning. Sutherland was known for his generosity with autographs. Now he says no more, quoting him, "You guys screwed me." Although a union official did tell TV writers to take home their personal effects last night, he was jumping the gun. The strike is on. It's not set to go wide until Monday. And now both sides are planning to meet over the weekend, hoping to prevent this entertainment-crippling strike.
Getting back to Jack Bauer again, though. Yeah? It's, once again, you're a major Hollywood celebrity with all this money. Have a buddy drive you.
Yeah.
Have somebody drive you.
He was offered a car that night.
Do you remember we had the story? Mm-hmm. Fox said that they would send a car for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, let him go out, party your ass off. But it's stagger and stumble, jump into Christmas trees, but have somebody drive
you. It's not the fans' fault. He shouldn't have been drunk.
He's not mad. The fans didn't take pictures of him driving drunk, right? They took pictures of him, like, partying.
Falling out of his car, stumbling out of his car.
Oops. Okay.
Yeah, multiple pictures, sequential.
Bad
pictures.
Fans.
Blame the fans.
What are those fans thinking?
What'd you do? Hey, if I had a camera phone and I saw Kiefer Sutherland stumbling out of his car, mm-hmm. I'd probably snap off a few pictures, too.
Be hard to resist.
They are not money fans.
The writers,
not money, no.
The writers say they'll continue to work without a contract if the producers show some signs of compromise in this weekend's talks. NBC's running a promo for Saturday Night Live with newsman and guest host Brian Williams, saying that if the strike's not settled, he'll also be hosting My Name is Earl. That's how funny.
Really? I want to explain to you what make us laugh. That's the only thing that made me laugh. Make us laugh has killed me.
Yeah.
Has killed me for the end of this
for
show.
All jokes.
Things that are really not all that funny now are really not funny. You know what I mean? Usually they're just a little funny. They're okay. We can talk. Puppy and Brian Williams.
Just
die.
Not working.
It's terrible.
Puppy was awful.
Yes, Puppy was horrible.
Puppy was awful.
The Led Zeppelin reunion.
Oh, look at his face.
Now he looks like a herd puppy. Telephone.
Hold on. Don and Mike Show, why are you calling during the news?
Hey, sir, I was just wanting to see if I could get maybe one more chance to see if I could make those guys laugh.
No.
Why do we always get these people? Sure, go ahead. However, how about you pay us $16,000 if we don't laugh?
Excuse me?
You pay us $16,000 if we don't laugh.
Well, I mean, I can give a good shot of it. I don't have PayPal or anything like that, but I can give it a good shot.
Before the FCC phone rules, we used to do a great bit called Donnie Gets the Cash Call. Call people and ask them how much money I want to win from them. And they never really grasped the concept.
Right, exactly.
That we were calling them and saying,
So the big question, sir, is how much money are you going to give Don Geronimo?
If I was going to win, I would say about $500.
$500?
Seriously, if your joke is not funny, will you give $500 to the Gay Men's Choir of Washington, D.C.?
That's our charity for Home November.
Can I be on a payment plan?
This is bad. He's a slacker. He's lingering.
How about this? How about you just offer up your phone number, and if we don't laugh, everyone will call you.
All right, cool.
That's good.
All right, very good. You'll let us broadcast your phone number over the air.
Go ahead. Try to make us laugh. If you do, we'll still give you $100.
All right, cool. All right. Lone Ranger and Tonto are out and fighting the bad guys. And they get finished, and the Lone Ranger's all tired and thirsty, and he says, let's go get us a couple Budweisers, right?
703.
So they go down to the bar, and he says, well, Tonto, the horses are really hot and sweaty, so what I want you to do is I want you to stand outside the bar.
9227. Let's just cut to the chase. It's 703-922-7173.
You didn't have a chance, sir.
He sucked. God, he was awful.
Horrible.
I thought he sucked.
Absolutely, Carla.
I don't know why these people insist on calling and interrupting your news.
I don't know.
Nobody called during your one-on-one with Jamie Farr.
Well, that was riveting.
And normally you guys love Lone Ranger jokes. They're the best.
Yeah, and for my money on Make Us Laugh, start with the Lone Ranger and Tonto.
Yeah.
You'll go places.
That's right, and a long joke.
That's right, puppy.
The Led Zeppelin reunion concert's been postponed. Guitarist Jimmy Page has a broken finger.
Einen Finger.
The London concert's been moved from November 26th to December 10th, and it would be their first show in over a decade. Jason Bonham will fill in for his late dad, John Bonham, on drums.
I saw some picture on some rock and roll website.
I wonder how good Jason Bonham is.
I don't know.
And it was just it was a mingling of times and eras that I could not stand. It was Robert Plant having a discussion with Jessica Simpson.
Really?
Yeah. And it just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah. It kind of cemented his reputation as a big whore.
Hello.
Have you heard his bluegrass record?
Robert Plant's Blue
Yeah, he's got a
Alison Krauss. Now, I'd listen to that. I think she's fantastic.
But it's just odd.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard it yet. Now you've ruined it for me.
You never want your pilot to fall asleep in the cockpit, especially when the plane is about to land. That's our story when we return.
That's right. A good tease.
Thank you, Buzz. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
With happy hands and mumbling mouths, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
So I said to her, that shouldn't happen if you have normal-sized teeth. Oh, I'm sorry, we're back.
What did her sister say?
She was occupied at the time.
She was in the bathroom, right?
She was in the bathroom, yeah. She was in the bathroom.
You just won $32,000.
Oh, that's good. Get a little energy back there. That's good.
Yeah, boy.
Sure, boy.
Yeah, that boy. Sure, yeah, boy.
Oh, God.
If only you knew.
Yes.
If only you, the home listener, knew what Mike and I were laughing at. You don't know, do you, Buzz?
No, if only I knew.
Son of your days.
Yes. And Rob really only knows half of it. Rob really only knows what he's heard through bits and pieces.
Yeah, we even have our standards. We can't reveal the whole thing. It's
I've figured out most of it.
It's far too sordid.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna.
In a clown-like way.
You never, as I said,
Pennywise the clown.
You do not want your pilot to fall asleep in the cockpit while the plane's about to land. We now know that it happened, though, on a red-eye flight from Baltimore to Denver 3 years ago with an Airbus 319 headed for the airport at over 600 miles an hour.
I know it's going to be scary.
Twice. That's twice the allowed speed, 600 miles an hour. Both pilots fell asleep at the stick. Their identities and the name of their airline have not officially been revealed, but reporters have narrowed...
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
There he is, Captain Jim.
Jesus.
Reporters have narrowed it down to Frontier Airlines. The initial information came from the captain himself, who filed anonymously on a federal safety website.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
We flew it, didn't we, Frontier?
Yeah, that's the one where you can sit backwards.
Yeah,
that's right.
What's and you and I on? Were sitting backwards for takeoff.
It's a great airline and a great town.
Oh yeah,
Frontier Town,
Ocean City, Maryland, or is it Frontier City?
Frontier Town is in Disneyland too.
I think it's Frontier City.
Frontier City's Ocean City.
That's one
the
near
campground,
you.
Right?
The captain says he and his first officer were awakened by frantic calls from the tower, and the plane landed without incident. The captain blames having to fly three red-eye flights in a row. He says he hopes his airline has since stopped that practice.
And what excitement we have today.
Don't we all?
I'm your captain, boy. Hello, boy.
Now, after a workout...
Who needs a seatbelt extender, boy? Siri, time for a little shut-eye, boy.
After a workout, beer may be better than either water or Gatorade for rehydrating.
What am I always...
That's what you said.
There you go.
Oh,
Olympic athlete Rob Spiewak.
Fantastic.
A professor in Spain studied people who worked out and then drank water and compared their hydration levels to people who worked out and were given beer instead. Professor says the beer contains water and ingredients that help you retain the water. He says the carbs in beer help replace the calories.
I'm on my second beer.
Stop it now.
Replaces the calories that were burned in the workout. And, he says, the carbonation is better for quenching your thirst. Also, we recently...
Please. No more calls about this, please.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Let me tell you something. When you were giving us that news information there...
Yeah, that was Buzz.
Oh, man, I loved it.
Oh, good.
Anyway, gotta run. Number one fan.
Thanks.
Ah, nice guy.
Also, we recently reported that steroids are being used by all kinds of people, not just athletes and bodybuilders. Following the recent government raid on illegal steroid factories, it's now estimated that steroids are being used by 30,000 to 40,000 Americans.
And Andy Reid's sons. They are.
You can get some at his
house. The Reid Emporium.
The Drug Emporium.
The Drug Emporium.
That's Andy Reid's Drug Emporium. May I help you?
Scientists say they have grown genetically engineered mice that live longer than ordinary mice. These mice can run faster and with more endurance. They can also eat more than other mice and without getting fat. Researchers say this mighty mouse also has more sex than unaltered mice and continues reproducing well into old age. The scientist accomplished all this by changing just one gene.
Excuse me, Buzz. Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave.
Dave, how are you?
I wonder if you would take a request.
Well, sure, what?
Yeah, go into real estate.
Oh, Dave.
Oh, man.
You don't win.
Donna Mike Show, hello.
Hey, guys, number one fan. That was an awesome job that you did with the contest. I can't wait until you do another one.
Make
gotta run.
All right.
Number one fan.
Thank you.
Gotcha.
Appreciate it.
Scientists made these sexier, stronger, longer-living mice.
Hello, hello. Make us laugh, Donna Mike.
Hey, pal, it's Dave Letterman.
Hi.
I've got an important bulletin for you.
Really?
Yeah. I'm quitting my TV show.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to be the new lead singer for Van Halen.
His writers are on strike.
Yeah.
Okay, Donna Mike, hello.
Hey, guys, number one fan. I just wanted to call in and say great job giving us the sports scores. Excellent job.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work. Anyway, I got to run. Number one fan.
Thanks for calling. Thanks so much.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. Listen, you've never been funnier than you've been this morning. Either that or I'm all goofy on Pop-Tarts.
Okay, all right. Bye!
There they go.
Stop it.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Excellent job doing the forecast. Thank you so much for telling us what the temperature is and all that stuff. I got to run. Number one fan.
Well, we didn't do the forecast.
Everybody's still calling. Sorry, Buzz.
Finally,
a new Friday. Yes. Fridays are kind of goofy.
They're crazy.
Kooky Friday.
Finally, a new mother.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, hello, Rob. It's Dick Van Patten.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Wow.
This is going to capture your imagination.
All right, Buzz, go ahead.
A new mother whose freezer was overflowing with her own breast milk tried selling it through a newspaper ad.
Mommy boobies.
She checked. There's no law against it in Iowa. She cannot donate it because it was never screened. Sadly, she's only gotten one phone call for the milk.
That was me.
It was from either a pervert or a prankster.
Both.
She says if she gets one more of those, she's taking her breast milk off the market. And in the new...
I've got PayPal.
Freshest milk in New York City. Fresher than your mama's.
And in the new Don and Mike state of Nebraska, they're looking for cute, chubby, 35-year-old middle school teacher and her 13-year-old male student. Those two took off together in her white Pontiac a week ago today. The boy's dad found a love letter in which the boy wrote, "It's not about the sex. The sex is pretty good.
I would love to make wild, passionate love to you."
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No!
No!
Yes. Wow. Thank you for a great week of shows.
Yeah.
Be back on Monday. Check out our website, donandmikewebsite.com. Be safe. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Love you, Andy. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, Jamie Farr.
Good day to you, sir.
And you, Mr. Peter North over there.
And of course, I still sponsor my ladies' golf tournament in Toledo, Ohio.
Ah, yes, Mr. Farr.
So I will see you at Executive Getty.
Yes, thank you, puppy.
Nina Hartley.
Hey.
This is the Don and Mike Show.